a document to let our organization know that if they wanted to do an EDR or a DDR, this is what they probably want.
So this is an internal report?
Yes. It'll be for, other folks will get it, but it's to give management the current...
Heads up.
Current assessment or hypothesis of the rocks.
So then any decision of moving forward with remedial actions will occur after this report is out?
I think two things will happen. The report will get out as soon as I have time to write it, prior to the end of spill season, and then a lot will be known based on what happens after the spill season.
Okay. We're in the middle of writing, reconfiguring, maybe better word for it, a biop. And this issue concerns me, so we're going to want to think about how we incorporate this work in that biop. It may not be something we worry about in 13 and maybe in 18 sort of thing, but definitely something that's on the horizon that could affect fish passage and survival at that project. So we still have some issues about the performance standards and everything else. One of those up in the air, but this is one of the action items I think that I can think of that might help, as well as the overall repair of the spillway itself, which I assume is also still moving forward.
There, and I don't know the dates. I do know that we have requested a major rehab program for the spillway.
Right.
I just don't know the status, don't know anything on its...
Which century it might occur in.
That was a good choice of words. I do not know the status. It's outside of my court.
Okay.
I'm waiting for somebody to tell me to do something on it. But right now it's upstairs in PM. Well, it's in the legislature. Who knows?
I'm going to keep bringing it up. I mean, it's something that needs to be moved again. And I think it will come up in our performance standards discussions, just based on the survivals that we've seen in the project. So. Okay, so like this item needs to be a definite monthly or fitter week, each fitter week anyway, something we talk about.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, moving along. Bonneville Adult Fish Facility Mods.
Here's a handout going around.
So I think that the best way to talk about this is that there were three main areas we're trying to make improvements to the Bonneville Adult Fish Facility. One of them was the velocities in the effort channel. In other words, to put in the observation boxes. And the final one was, which is on the back, which is the fish bypass pipes. So the revisions to the velocities in the exit channel were to revise the weirs and put in porosity plates. That was constructed, and whenever we wanted the facility back up, 2 weeks ago, something like that, a week ago, Steve went out and was taking measurements with John, and they were playing with different settings, trying to get things to work out, and the velocities only came down about 10%. They weren't, it wasn't the dramatic drop we were hoping for. And you know, I'm going to go back to, I think it was in December, we had a special fitter week meeting for this Bonneville Adult Fish Facility. And what was discussed there was kind of, I think, ties us all together, in my mind at least, that the velocity, the flow coming down the ladder was way higher than what it was supposed to be. And Ed was asking a lot of questions about how can that be and all those things. And I know at the time I was kind of wondering, yeah, how could that be? Well, after we did all this, Steve determined that it appears as though as the water is coming off the ledge there, the concrete ledge,
has joined the conference.
It's having a jet coming out, and you get a recirculation in that area that's graded there, that's deeper, that feeds that jet. Am I doing all right?
Basically, yeah.
I don't think it feeds the jet. So.
It does, and you don't think it feeds the jet?
I'm thinking what you're... That, it didn't make sense to me that it's feeding the jet.
Well,
more sense
explain.
Was that it doesn't allow the jet to expand.
The jet will expand by itself.
Like it's
going to flow. That's what they all do. If you have nothing, if you have no boundaries,
right.
It'll just keep expanding. And so...
And slowing down.
It's also slowing down, but... and we don't have the distance to slow it down without some kind of barrier. So, but what's so it's got to make up that flow, and that's what where that recirculation comes from. And what where there was a disconnect in flow rate was the flow rate coming off the ledge was a lot lower than what we measured down at the trash rack. And so, you know, that's what was confusing me until it occurred to me that it could be coming up through the screen as well as above the screen. So that could be feeding the flow. So one part one was to put on these plates to block that flow so that we at least get the same flow rate we have coming off the ledge. Part two, which we've been working on, and I agree that it'd be a good idea to put in something to block that upper water column, because that upper water column is the upper 2 feet, and
I told you we should have waited a year to do this.
What's that?
I told you we should have waited a year before we started using the FF for all this work.
So what we what we propose is we will block the upper 18 inches, but we'll have 1 inch gaps. It'll be 4x4 wooden members, and we would locate them about 3 feet downstream of the ledge. The reason we picked that location is because we have an existing I-beam that is connected to the rail pool, which was our big question is where can we connect to the rail pool. So we have that, and so Steve is drawing that up. The other thing we're going to do is we'll make sure that it goes at least a foot above the water so that we don't have water lapping over the top. According to my calculations, we shouldn't go much more than 6 inches higher when it hits there. So 1 foot gives us, you know, some cushion.
And you're talking about those flat slits in there. How wide are the gaps?
Oh, 1 inch.
So water's going to be rushing through those.
Right. And so I've done some calculations on that. And yes, if you're right up against it, you'll feel the full 4 feet per second.
Right.
As you work downstream, it dissipates. And the maximum velocity, now the average velocity downstream of this would be about 1 foot per second. But the, because it's based on the porosity. But the,
downstream
of the baffle, that is. I mean, yeah, in the upper 18 inches.
Flow's going to be coming back up and filling that space. So how far downstream is that going to, that velocity going to expand or extend?
The 4 feet per second, or
another one.
Where do you hit 1 foot per second? How far?
Well, it takes 7 feet to get down to where the maximum velocity is 1 foot per second. It takes 5 feet to get down to 1.2, and it takes 3 feet to get down to 1.5. That's the point. That's the highest velocity. It's kind of imagine a sinusoidal curve. So between the jets, it's actually, you know, like 0.5 when it's 1.5. And then now there is the flow coming up from underneath.
That's going to be pretty substantial.
Right. And that's why I kind of wanted to go deeper, but because we're kind of close to the ledge, I didn't want to go deeper than, I have it 19 inches.
Push the up there. Yeah, I'm just, it's,
now
we're trying.
I believe that a porosity plate will work better because the jets dissipate quicker. We can even get away with a 2-inch jet and dissipate it quicker. So that's our, you know, long that's where we'll come back in fall.
Okay. So any discussion about when this could be done?
John?
Well,
next week.
I'm going to, direct that
to next week. Yeah. So basically, it's plating as we were going to do, putting the baffle in, which is. Can we see a drawing of what you intend to do? If you have one, Steve, or could send one out? Let's
show this, but I'll draw it up on the board too.
Yeah, I'm just thinking to send something out so Ed can have a look at it.
Where is Ed?
Where is Ed?
Yeah, right. Ask him. He's on the phone. 4x4.
Yeah.
That'll hold.
Oh, yeah, don't worry about that.
Just where the direction is.
Yeah.
So I've seen eddies and that kind of stuff, and that's just going to be that just means it's
jet here. Well, the battle will push the jet downward somewhat. So there's some judgment on how far to go down with that. And I kind of wanted to go 2 feet, but being that we're kind of close to this, I didn't, you know, we decided to kind of back off of that. But also the fact that the jet will get kind of pushed downwards initially. So what we have then is, so this is 2 feet deep level, so we would come down within 5 inches of that and come with a 4x4. That should be sufficient for the loads. I checked with Steve Sipe. Then you have an inch, and we have another inch, and I can't remember. I think I had 3 gaps there before we hit the water surface. So I'm probably not drawing this to scale, but and then we go up 3 more. Mm-hmm. This lands pretty much where the water surface should be. The drawing isn't quite to scale.
So that flow coming under that.
So there will be flow coming.
Yeah, a lot.
Like that.
Like all of it.
Most of it, yeah.
Through the slots there, but
right.
That's going to be pretty minor comparatively.
Correct.
So that's going to expand, and I'm just wondering how quickly that expands back up to surface.
It'll contract first.
Right.
And then it'll expand. And the typical expansion rate is 1 to 4.
Okay.
So
you're going to, basically, what we're trying for is a shadow right at that MTI, right there. So.
Yeah, now the shadow we think goes, or no, the exit we think goes 18 inches down, is that right?
Yeah.
Maximum?
I think so.
But they said that the gate lifts
the gate
up
comes
the bottom up and creates just an opening at the very top near the surface.
Right.
Within the top 6 to 12 inches, maybe. It sounded like yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We also was kind of calculated out that the distance from that baffle, the new baffle, to the closest edge of the opening is about 5 feet, is what we kind of surmised yesterday, kind of had enough dimensions.
Right. It's not just the opening that we're concerned about. It's since those fish come out of that opening, you know, it's what they encounter in that first couple feet of flow. Mm-hmm. That's the key.
Right. So we're trying to think based on that on where his what his velocities are. So at 5 feet he's in 1 to 1.2 feet per second through the baffle. Just from the jets through the baffle.
Well, show me your velocity profile. What are you thinking? What are your velocities? Show me some vectors and velocities on there, Steve.
Okay.
You got all that, Max.
Well, I haven't quite done this one from down here, but
do it in his head. Go for it. He's got some idea.
I hope so.
Typically, you have a contraction of, say, this was a gate opening, but it really isn't a gate opening because it's not like all the flow is
right
coming uniformly.
Now you're forcing it down.
So it's going to go down, but it'll have room to kind of expand down here.
Yeah, right.
And
that'll slow down too.
And yes, it'll slow down. You have a core of a jet that breaks down at a rate of about 6 to 1.
Okay.
And I don't know exactly what that angle is.
That's okay. It's not going to be an issue. Well, it's the expansion that's the issue. I'm worried
the
about
expansion,
how quickly
but
that's
this
expand.
Expansion, as it expands, the edge of this is the lowest velocity of that jet. So the jet velocity profile looks something like
right,
that.
The core is going to be down low.
Just like these, when we look at this, it looks like that.
So because you have that those, you're going to be pushing that out a little bit further too. I mean, you're going to be pushing back any back roller that coming up behind you.
Right. I thought you made a good point about, you know, making some porosity in here. So I agree with that, and it probably helps a little bit mitigating this a little bit.
Right. Right. Yeah. Carry it past. So when you get around that the area of the exit, what are we looking at? Can you kind of draw some velocities in there? What you think?
Okay. Well, not knowing. Okay. So let's say let's drop this 6 inches here, and then let's say it writes itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the expansion rate, 4 to 1. So this is probably another 2 feet downstream before it reaches the 18-inch level, or a little bit beyond that. So we will have expanded into it at that point.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of a little bit.
Right.
Expanded just into the bottom of the gate opening?
Yeah. But it won't be, if I were to be conservative, assume this leveled off, I can calculate that, but I don't have it right now.
Do you expect any roller to come back? It should, but I'm just wondering.
Well, this may not be enough to feed this.
I don't want
this.
It to be confusing at that point where we actually have flow going the wrong way past the exit.
I don't expect that by the time we get down here. We may have some of that happening here.
Right, I expect so.
Yeah, we will have some of that because most of it, like you say, is going under it.
Yeah. Okay, well, this would be interesting.
Yeah, we wanted to see if we could adjust this, but we really couldn't come up with a practical plan to do it.
Distance, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Steve.
At the point of maybe, correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, but as the just downstream of the Grizzly, we now have a porosity plate.
Right.
That's part of that wear box that's in there. Mm-hmm. So hopefully some of that jet that's going down, dipping down, will go feed those holes you put in there.
Well, that was the interesting thing is I was looking at the flow going out of the holes, and they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. That is, they were pulling more from the bottom than the top. But apparently what was happening was the jet was so dominant that it just hit the plate and then circulated down. So that's the part
feeding
I didn't,
from the top down.
That's
right
the part I didn't appreciate how forceful that jet was.
Yeah, I looked at it after they got the facility up to its running sample mode, and I could see that the velocity was higher in the center. It was different from what I saw earlier.
Yeah, it is a little bit higher.
It slid back. I mean, it's still higher than we want to see, but it wasn't as high as I thought it was going to be right next to the exit.
That slowed down a little bit.
It did.
And I think maybe one other point.
What's going to be?
Yeah, one other point I'd like to make here is the original.
A participant has joined the conference.
The original documentation that we saw from, I think it was from the new Gary, I'm not 100% sure, but anyway, was to rearrange that whole braille pool and put the exit near the ledge.
That was it. Right.
But the velocities we're measuring at the ledge are 4 feet per second.
Right. So it's just the distance. It was further away.
A little more distance is all it does.
Gets away from the Grizzly. Yeah, velocities are high right there. I agree.
So, not sure.
Yeah, well, we were looking at it with what we had, not knowing that we could reduce the velocity, but at least try to give those fish more time to right themselves.
Right.
That was the thought there. But we can knock the velocity down. Or I don't want to go backwards there, but if it's a little turbulent, that's okay, I think. That's good. Because fish will come out, and at least they're not being swept down with that. Grizzly before they have a chance to get their bearings.
Right.
That's the key.
Yeah, if I could go back and do one other thing, I would have had the porosity plate go like the one that was straight behind, would have gone straight across.
Right.
I was kind of deferring too much to the existing structure, so I was using that. But
let's see where we end up.
Let's see how it goes.
We'll have some time next winter if we want to do a few more, little mods to it, but hopefully this will be better than it was.
So you're planning to try to get this in next week?
Yep.
So then we're going to need to have time to see if we can get water back up in view, because I know my researchers are going to be kind of curious.
Sure.
So we'll need to set up some time to take a look at this. I'm assuming you guys are going to take some more velocity measurements to verify what you guys got.
Steve's going
to
go out there and do that.
So yeah.
I'm just going to go out. So we do that, and then depending on what we see, because it's Bonneville, don't work out quite like we hope they do. Do we have a plan two? Can we do
B?
The...
Plan B?
Plan B?
This is plan B.
Yeah,
this is
plan B. So do we have a plan D?
We don't have a...
Can we go down to
the
D?
Conference. For this
no.
year?
That's what I was wondering. I mean, could we do something stupid like do the unicide?
You mean like kill the study?
Don't tempt me. Gee, that'd be an awesome idea.
I mean, you wouldn't want to kill your own study, would you?
No. Well, yes. You don't want to ask me that question. No, the question is, could we do something silly like do the slow flood concept, where you're sort of slowly raising things up so it slows velocities down? That's not a good way to operate the system. I don't think you want to, but...
The problem with that is the closure of the exit bulkhead to do it.
Yeah.
And creating an orifice there. And you're building up shad for one.
Oh, yeah.
Creating higher velocities for salmon, and then, you know, lamprey passage issues too.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm saying that's a horrible option.
I think I'd rather just go with whatever Steve comes up with here is
it. To the bypass.
Well, I'd like to see what it is, and if it does look like it's an improvement, then
I think it's already a slight improvement. Yeah. So what he's going to do, I think, will make unless it goes totally squirrely on us and does something unusual. That never happens.
I'm not going to make it go.
You know what plan C is? Yank it all out and live with
start over again.
Go back to where we were. So hot, so I'm not predicting anything yet.
It is the echo.
He's in Idaho.
Who is?
Sean Tack.
Oh.
Then can I ask, chat with you for a second?
Sure.
Who's going to get that update?
So, there's a couple more things we can maybe talk about. So you got John. But the observation boxes, we got two of those built.
Yeah.
People saw those out there. The reality is there's only so much real estate in that area. And it looks like it's very difficult to have the second one actually positioned there right now with all the research going to go on. So I think the agreement's been that one will be set aside for now at least.
Yep.
That's but the same. We'll have it either as a spare or in the future if there's limited research and works to put there, or in the future if there's a different location everybody wants.
Well, the big deal here is that most of the guys in there don't need to use it because they're putting their fish into a tow or into transport boxes that are going somewhere else. So some of the guys using the rail pool, it's quick fix, and we kind of talked about how we would use it. I was originally thinking we would look at every fish, but I've since backed away from that.
Oh, thank God.
Letting John kind of figure it out, but I'm going to be watching.
Well, I'm hoping
that new camera.
Well, and I also told John to write up some criteria for what they consider.
I asked him.
Good. As long as they get that to the owner, then we can review.
We're going to look over that. So I think we'll be. Okay.
That was my suggestion to him, and I'm hoping he's going to do that.
Yeah, he is. I asked him to do that too.
Good, good.
So then I think that of the observation boxes that are out there were three issues with them that occurred since they were installed. One was the stiffness and weight of the elephant's trunk. When the contractor proposed that, the first middle he sent in looked like a radiator goes perfectly around, like that's too stiff. But then they took a picture at the supplier's shop where the thing flattened out, and I was like, okay. But then when we actually saw it, it was like, Jesus, this thing.
First time I saw it, it was collapsed.
But it says elephant truck on it.
Does it really? Yeah. I didn't see that.
Just
take a picture of that.
Yeah. So, they're working on that, and they already put a different.
Paul Keller has joined the conference.
About the inner tube, but they, from what I hear, is too small a diameter. I'm not sure.
It is. But yeah.
John and Andy are working with Andy DeBry out there, and they're coming up with something better.
Excuse me, I can barely hear you guys.
Sorry. The other issue was the squared around attachment, the steel or aluminum piece that connects between the square box to this elephant truck we're talking about. It fell off at one point, and that was reattached in a much better way.
Okay. So
has left the conference.
There was a combination of both of these, and that issue and the next one are based on the weight of that elephant's trunk hanging out there, cantilevered.
Right.
So whenever, I think John said it was whenever they let all the water out, and then you had a big fish, you got all that weight of the water out there in that elephant's trunk, in addition to the weight of the elephant's trunk also, and it disconnected. So the contractor, we called him back in, he came up with a better attachment there. And then the other one was, we could adjust the tilt of that observation box to make sure that we can fish out of there. And there's nothing to really keep that from raising up. And it's fine if you have this one side you're dumping at a time because you got the weight of the water in. But with the weight of the elephant's trunk out there, again, with all the weight, the thing kind of reared up a little bit in the back. Mm. So they're working on fixing that with something. I'm not sure exactly what.
Bungee cords?
Something to hold
duct tape.
Down.
Duct tape is popular.
What John and I talked about yesterday was putting a 45 on the end of that.
Right.
It should be a solid piece, aluminum or something like that.
Yeah.
And then we talked about other ways, different ways of coming off of that, either with a flexible elephant trunk sort of thing, or I suggested possibly a PVC chute, 45 degree angle attached to the end of it, just solid, that way we don't have to worry about things collapsing, all that. The problem with that is that it gets heavier, and you know it has to be closed because we don't want fish jumping on it. Okay. So maybe the Alpha truck's still the better way to go. It just needs to be a bigger diameter inner tube, bigger truck tire.
So those being worked and should be incorporated in the next week or so also, right?
Yeah, and the good thing is that the remaining observation tank, I think it has a better, clearer shot at the Braille pool than the other one, which was at angle iron, all kinds of stuff under it. So
the only question is, researchers, I'm sure, are chomping at the bit, because they had 56 go through yesterday.
Yeah, numbers are jumping up.
Starting to come.
50 degrees is coming at us real quick here, and that's usually when they really take off. So the other thing that I was hoping somebody would address, we talked about it, and I talked about it, was the chute where they put the fish back in, that orange chute that's on there, and there's the old chute. It's pretty ratty. And it's got some sharp edges and stuff. So relining that with a rubber, some rubber. There's a ton of that already out there. So that'd be the one last thing to fix that one out.
Just like the other one that's in the
Just fence. Like the other one that the WDFW has put in there here, or that they've used that the rubber mat.
The project can take care of that.
Yeah, it's an easy thing. It's just
Do you guys decide anything to do about where the cutout is in the Braille pool?
That one didn't get talked about. That was one of those things reminded me when I saw it after the meeting that we didn't talk about putting a panel up where fish have been jumping at that corner, at maybe the southwest corner of the Braille pool.
Has joined the conference.
Yeah, I think we're planning to put that panel back up and then also put some kind of like rubber or foam padding against it. So.
Well, there was the one that was there has a cut in it from the original flume that came from the small wake-up tank, and so we need to cover that up with something, you know, a piece of plywood or whatever to keep that.
Plywood, put a piece of rubber on it, and then the thought we talked about was like basically covered down to the water surface to keep light out so the fish hopefully aren't queuing on the light to jump at. Because they seem to be jumping at it in years past.
There's a reason for that being cut down.
Yeah.
Good thing did that, I think. So.
Sounds like we could. I think, I don't know.
Who took a piece out.
Someone did, because they said the fish were jumping at it, so then they put in the rubber to protect the fish that were jumping. So if we can just figure out. Hopefully,
keep the fish from jumping
would be the better thing to do.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know if there's a hydraulics there because I haven't seen it.
Not really. No, it's an odd thing. I was looking at it, and with the light from the outside of the building is really far enough away. I'm not sure that you can see it.
Probably see the that open hole that used to be in the cage.
I guess you'd have to kind of jump in a Braille pool and sit there and then look up and see.
Next time I have that.
That's what Tom is.
If we stay with. Not operating the Braille pool up and down all the time, it'll probably cover up that entire space. But I think if we ever want to raise it up again, we might have to adjust how far that matting or light covering stays down.
Yeah. I'm just saying, just get it close. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Right.
You could probably, not now, but earlier we could have gone to the outside and put a piece of aluminum plate or something out there. So
that's my fear.
Too late.
Next year.
Yeah.
We'll make a list of improvements for
next year. Yeah, put that on your to-do list for next year.
The only other issue that this team addressed was the fish bypass pipes. We did extend those out.
Yeah.
Right. They're now within 1 or 2 inches of the water surface.
Yeah. Is that about right, Kevin?
Well, you know, when we measured it during our design spec elevation, they were a couple inches off the water surface. We've been playing around with, you know, the valves and trying to figure out the best way to... operate. It looks like the best way to operate. We're right at the water surface.
Yeah, there's a little water backing up in there that we saw without flow coming out of the pipes.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably about as perfect as you can get.
And even if it's submerged a little bit, it's not going to be a problem.
Okay. Yeah, I just don't want fish going back up in there.
I didn't know it was a problem.
No, I think as long as you're like putting the whole as long as you're putting the whole
pipe
under
water. The contractor had to fit it in, I guess.
These fish don't have to fall at all. They're going to go down.
Yeah,
they're going to slide right on the water. I think that's the best you could possibly have.
The only thing we're worried is if it's like completely submerged and it backed up enough, then you can have fish swimming.
Yeah, I don't want
you don't want that.
Yeah.
But as long as it's like a couple inches, 4 inches.
Yeah, I think we're
fine. I think you did whether you intended to or not,
take the credit for it, run away.
You made that one perfect.
Wait. It doesn't allow us.
My calculations were perfect on that one.
So take credit for it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Take credit when you can.
And just another thing to note, we did upgrade the raw water booster pump and added water to those bypass
floors. Excellent.
Yeah, that was one I didn't know about. I saw you show me that, and that's good.
Yeah.
It does look like the fit and finish of the new pipe is pretty good too. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the joints in it are much better than what was there originally.
Yeah.
And
I think that's
an improvement,
a resounding success.
Yeah.
At least appears to be.
We'll just have to monitor the. You
don't know until you test the fish, right? We haven't done that. Then you have to ask each fish what their experience was, and we haven't done
that.
How
did you like that slide?
That covers the adult fish facility.
Excellent.
That's just as good as I can get about it.
Because you love the facility so much.
Next items on the agenda
are B2RF
and B2FGE. Thank you, guys.
So it's Brad. Brad's excuse for not being here today. You see, got the plague.
Yeah.
Did the bonds. Now, why is there no one else in the region here? That's another issue.
The
B2FGE.
Oh, excuse me, George. I'm sorry, but. While we were going through our updates, we had three people join on the phone. Can you identify yourselves, please? Starting at about 9:25 or so.
Or so. Hey, Jonathan,
Scott Bett.
Paul Keller.
And Agnes.
Gene Swalski.
Hello, Gene.
Thank you, Trevor. He's had a serious situation to take care of, so his mother-in-law.
Okay, and we had Tom Waters join us as well in the meeting room here. Sorry, George, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, okay. B2FGE, in terms of the TRD, the turbulence reduction device,
I've seen that come for it.
Get us to where we are, but I think that we've got that installed. Got velocity measurements pretty much underway. We should finish those up this week. And then I think we're looking to start the bio testing the 8th of April.
Pending. Depending on the velocity.
Pending. I'm really waiting for that part.
I can't wait
pending
to see
pending whether test. Or not the velocity test showed that you actually made a difference improvement. That was worth testing with fish.
Well, the velocity measurements are going to be incorporated into the model that we've got.
Yeah, but if your velocities basically don't show you made an improvement, there'd be no reason to do bio testing.
Yeah, we're looking at this as a step.
As
a step to process.
We're expecting preliminary information that would.
Well, I know.
Yeah. Give us some direction.
Some of us are naysayers.
Go forward or not with the bio tests.
If
we didn't see a difference in the gay wells,
then there'd be no reason to bio test.
Put a bunch of fish in there. So.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. I think we're under the premise that what we're doing out there is basically testing the velocities that we're going to incorporate into a model. But the assumption is that velocities are not going to be. Dramatically impacted to the point where we're going to forego bio testing. And basically what we're doing with the bio testing is to see what kind of impacts the reorientation of that circulation is going to have.
Well, I guess the question is, once we see the velocities thing, and if you do see a reorientation, you think you're going to see a change in the way the circulation is?
Sure, but we won't see that for a little. We won't see that for a while. Well, I should say we won't be able to see that until we actually model that.
I thought the intention was that we would get that done prior to putting fish in there.
Yeah.
Make us mad.
So we've said that in several
get grumpy
since we've gone through here. I mean, through this.
That was always the separate process we set up on the stream. Was like, put these things in, make sure they get in, do your velocity testings. If velocity testing is whatever percent different than what was previously measured, then of course, go do bio testing. But if there is really no significant change, then what would the use be doing more bio testing, because we've already got those results? Was our track that we were taking? Do you guys have a different take on that?
Well, I wish a couple of the hydraulic engineers were still here, because I think there's a difference. Is Ed on the phone?
Hey.
Yeah, I'm here, but I got to go in about a minute.
Okay. You know, the TRD was not going to reduce the velocity. We're talking about reducing circulation, which is what our theory is on why fish are not getting to the orifice. And I
don't even want to argue about the parts that
you
were
see supposed to be done.
It was the changes we were going to put these things in, look at the velocities, vectors, and everything else, determine whether or not they made the difference we anticipated they would. If they did, then we were going to test biologically. If they didn't, we weren't going to subject the fish to that test needlessly. That was the agreement. That's what we were talking about. It's what we've agreed on all the way through this. So, you know, I'm assuming that you guys have the physical tests set up and the ability to determine the results of those quickly enough to either say yes or no with the biology. Because otherwise, I don't want to run a bunch of fish through there. When you're using river run fish, you know, those are listed fish. Test this.
And, you know, I've heard there's great concern about use of the source.
We could use sprinkling, I guess, only.
Yeah, you could.
It's just we want to service that.
Probably just got to hurry up because their leases are coming up pretty quick.
They are. Yeah, they have three, I think, for the season. So there's. But, you know, that is what we believed based on what we've been told.
Well, it's also kind of what we put in our comments history at BG.
Yeah.
I guess it was. You're correct. That's what you've been told. We need preliminary data to move forward,
right?
And we are expecting to get it.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. I mean, that's fine. I just want to make sure it's just not ready now.
We're not
we understand.
Okay.
Are we in agreement or not? Because it didn't sound like we were.
Okay.
There's a stepwise process here.
Yeah. I'm in the middle of a couple phone calls here.
And you're not on mute either.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
So, yeah, Gary Henry and Lori Ebner have been, you know, heading this up.
Okay.
And, you know, when I asked them yesterday if we would have an update for Fitterwig, you know, it's just too raw right now. You know, all they have is their observational data. There's spikes in the data. They need to process it. So,
well, I'm hoping that they've set up. I mean, you've got a lot of time to figure this out. What you would set up is what do you anticipate these TRDs to do? Pick some points within the gate wells that you expect to change in a certain way, and then measure those. And if they did, that gives you indicators that you were right. If they didn't, then you'd probably...
Gary, I got to run. I'll catch up with you later.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think this one's...
Ted Meyer
has left the conference.
So that, you know, and I leave it to you guys, but I assume that they picked those indicator points already a long time ago with the model and said, okay, here's measurement points, and if these all line up with what we expect, then we're good to go for the biological test. Yeah. I don't want them to have to run a whole extensive model that might take...
No.
Days or weeks to do before we decide, we have a complete picture, and now we can make a decision.
We should see better flow distribution up the gate well through its range and a reduction in the circulation.
Has left the conference.
I guess what I'm just saying is they should have picked points within that to measure pretty directly without having to run a lot of model work.
I don't recall completely everything that you said it makes sense. What you're saying,
it just makes sense. I don't know. I'm hoping that that's.
I don't recall that we committed to that.
I'm not.
Now, having said that, if I hear you correctly, what you're saying is that between now and next week, the 8th, which is when the bio test is supposed to start.
We have Spring Creek fish testing scheduled to start on April 8th, 4 replicates each week through this month.
And these are all Spring Creek.
These are all Spring Creek fish.
Okay. Right.
And. So there's a couple of things we can do. We can proceed.
Yeah, I'm not going to...
Well, John, let me finish what I was going to say.
I'm not as concerned about spring.
If I understand you correctly, what you're asking us to do is to basically take the information that we've got, the velocity measurements, incorporate those into the model, run the model, and then make an assessment based on the findings of that model to determine whether or not the velocity measurements have changed significantly enough for us to... move forward with the biotest, is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying exactly like that, because the model part, what I said was, you've had the model for a long time. You know what you expect to get from the model. You've worked through that.
Right.
You should be able to go back, having that model in your back pocket, know the spots in the gate well, you can measure directly
and say, yeah, the model seems, it seems to be doing what we think it should do, what these TRDs are intended to do. And that's what I'm waiting for, is that, and that's a direct measurement. That's going out and putting your meters in the right spots and saying, hey, yeah, looks like, given the conditions that are occurring at the time that we tested, we are getting what we expected to get. You can feed all that into the model later, but I'm thinking that ahead of time, you ought to have, at least have indicator points that would tell you that, yeah, we're good.
Yes.
And I'm not, I can't really speak to exact, I think I've been around it enough with Lori to know that. I think that, and Gary, I believe that the velocity measurement meters and the study was set up based upon coordinating with the model runs that we've done before. So I think what you're asking is that those points at where the velocity meters were set, I think, was coordinated based upon modeling efforts or previous modeling efforts.
And so they have some idea what they should expect.
Yes.
Yeah. And if they're getting what they expected, then I think that's all we need to go forward.
They have CFD.
The modeling work will take
some time. I don't think any extra modeling was done. It's all based upon the velocity measurements were based, the scope was based upon what we
we're going to have physical velocity measurements of 15A without a TRD at the high end, and 14A with a TRD at the high end. And we have CFD modeling on both those conditions, and we should be able to.
You should be able to do it first. You're going to do testing
with or without TRD.
If you see a difference.
And as far as Spring Creek, if you want, I mean, I'm just concerned about listed stocks. If we get into using river run fish, which I think was stated for a later later in the season, that, you know, we have reason to believe that this is a good test and not just throwing some fish down there and end up with the same result.
I'm pretty sure in Gary and Laurie's testing program, they were able to take that data and compare it against model runs that were already done before.
Okay. Good. Yeah. See,
that's what I would expect.
We told the contractor we would like to see some preliminary data, you know, this week, you know, before our testing starts. Now we can, with Spring Creek Fish, we could delay until the 15th of April and do three replicates, but
no, I don't sound.
Well, honestly, it's just going to be Spring Creek. I mean, I don't hate hatchery fish as many as some people do.
And these are listed too.
I know. Jesus.
Not necessarily.
If you want to plan to go forward and do those, but then let's do a reconnoiter after you're done with the Spring Creek and say, do we continue?
Well, I want to be very clear on what the expectation is here over the next week or so.
Okay.
And what I hear you saying is that we want validation on some level based on the field measurements that you take, that there's been a positive change in terms of flow conditions.
Is that the mic down that way?
That's what you're looking for.
Yep. There's only one mic, Scott, sorry.
Okay, we will follow through. I can't commit to the level of detail that we'll be back in terms of data based on what we've got.
It's a comfort level. So you guys need to call the shots on that. And Tom's right. I mean, if you go back and look at our comments, we've said that, you know, you do one, and if it doesn't work, you know, I've been skeptical all along on this thing.
What?
So,
cynical?
A little bit. This isn't going to work. So... I hope it does, but I'm skeptical. So I don't want to commit fish resources to something that may not work.
All right. So the commitment that we'll make is that before Monday, Tuesday, we'll get back to you and give you a definitive in terms of what we found.
Okay.
Okay?
Good.
We'll send out an update. Yeah. Give you a call, talk about it.
Give
me
a call.
Yep.
My only apprehension at this point is we don't have any hydraulic engineers present to say yes.
When's that count?
Well, yeah, Lori,
I'm
going
to say, look at
it. You count.
It's not with this particular project. Right. I've sit around him enough to hear, but, you know, I don't know.
Lori's gone, so, Well, it's just logic, basically, and common sense. I mean, if we're going to do something, and I, you know, run some hatchery fish through and see if it works, that'll buy us some time to get through more of the, and that'll give us results, plus you'll have some time to more thoroughly look at the hydraulic results, and then we step into the last part of this, which is the river run fish tests. And maybe we do or don't do those.
So by Tuesday, we'll be back to you. John will get back to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just a side note, common sense is not common. But anyway, John, deconfiguration TSW permanent. Construction's been complete. We basically have TSWs that are in place and they're ready for running the river. The start of migration season, basically. What we've done is we've made changes to the TSWs, we've modified stop logs, installed a second gate, and making modifications on the deck to accommodate, to address overspread.
Here it is.
And we should be ready to go. There's some final...
His ears must have been tingling.
Alignment adjustments that we need to make post-construction, but we'll address those. The upshot for you folks is that we're pretty much ready to go.
Okay.
Since Gary's here, let's just briefly go back to the B2FGE.
Gary, we're just discussing, you know, where we're at with velocity testing, the schedule. You know, we're expecting to be done this week, hopefully today maybe.
Possibly. Yeah. Today they're doing their last test. So they'll clear out tomorrow and be gone.
Okay.
And process the data and get us some good data after that.
We were talking about preliminary data to make decisions about moving forward with fish testing, and the agency folks that are here are very interested in hearing what we may have at this point.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to commit fish to testing if we don't see some potential benefits. So I'm assuming you guys are going to be able to get a quick look, at least to feel that you're on the right track.
Yeah, and that's about what it'll be at this point. It's because of everything being pushed back as late as it was with stuff out there at the project. It'll kind of be
looks good.
This
doesn't look good. It doesn't do what we thought it would. Yeah, that's what we want to know because we don't want to catch fish either if we don't have to. If we don't see it as a benefit.
Yeah, it should give us a good idea of that.
Okay.
So
in a nutshell, Gary, what we're looking at is before and then after with the installation of those TRDs and determine whether the velocity changes at specific locations warrant moving forward with biologic testing.
Yeah.
And what we're looking at is basically to see if the recirculation issue that is really at the crux of the hypothesis that we're trying to evaluate out there have truly been changed as a result of the TRDs. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we've got, so what the contractor is going to be able to get to us quickly is a few different cross-sections that they've been collecting velocity going up there. It'll be very rough data, and so it'll be kind of if there's nothing that is dramatic or alarming, we're going to go ahead with testing, kind of based on CFD showing everything looks promising. And theory, you think about it, it makes sense. TRDs would do what we expect them to do. So, unless we see flags in this, and it's very rough data at this point. Talk to the contractor, and they're kind of nervous about getting it to us. They're kind of saying, "Hey, this is very rough. Treat it as such. Basically, look at it, throw it in garbage." Basically, is what they're saying. We'll get you the good data, but this will kind of give us our good enough to feel confident to move forward.
Well, to be clear, so that we have we manage our expectations, what are we looking to give Gary and company?
Nothing.
That's what I expect. That's about right.
And kicking the ass, maybe.
We've taught him well.
If you're lucky. Yeah.
Give Gary nothing.
What will we give the agencies? Nothing.
No, it's...
commit to nothing.
Yeah, kind of at this point, honestly, I'm talking to...
Why am I here?
Talking to others about what we should be expecting from this. It is kind of a very rough data, but hopefully in HD we'll see those indicators that say... Yes, this is. That would be me, Lori.
Okay, you and Lori are going to have to give me your thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yeah,
word of honor.
Yeah, and that's basically what it would be. I don't feel comfortable sending out the data, but
I don't want the data.
I
want to know. We'll going to be a home run, and we're going to fix the problem, and then all these fish are going to be happy. And if you say that, I'm fine.
So, Gary,
oh, there's some commitment.
Be clear, so that we capture this in the notes. What you're looking for, Gary, is just a professional
right.
assessment.
Right.
Professional
judgment. It'll be judgment.
I want a judgment from you guys that what you've trying to do is actually being done with these TRDs, and okay. that the biological testing makes sense to do.
Okay. So, again, to be clear, it's professional judgment.
can...
on a stack of Bibles.
You know, as far as timeline goes, process the data, tell to be able to make the professional judgment, can we prioritize the work that was done at the high end of the 1% TRD out versus TRD in?
Prioritize
high end of...
Definitely.
It is,
worst case.
It is prioritized as far as what they'll be giving to us.
Okay.
It's just everything being pushed up against the back wall. It's just kind of an on-the-fly. Let's see if we can still keep to a schedule, given what's happening up there. So.
Okay, yeah, no, we're good with that. I just want to make sure that we have a go-no-go before we dive into the
biological test.
All.
Yeah, we'll be getting data from
them
today.
We will have a check within 4 weeks.
The question on TRD removal, how long does it take?
To remove the TRD?
If we decided we had to take them out and didn't want them in anymore, is that a possibility?
Yeah, they come in and out with a crane, with a tie crane.
Okay, but how long? I'm trying to figure out if we have to have a unit outage, approximately ballpark time.
What does it take to remove
these two?
An hour?
Yeah.
20 minutes?
I have no idea.
As long as it takes to pick the length with the tie crane, one pick per side, so two picks.
That's an hour.
Okay, so like a half day.
No. We're talking like an hour, less than an hour.
Does that have to turn it off to tag it out?
Yeah. What's that?
The process going, that sounds like a half day-ish thing.
About as long as it takes to pull the screen to clean it.
Are they hanging clearances to pull these in and out?
Yeah. I don't know.
They didn't to put them in.
They didn't?
Yeah, I was... I just saw when they were watering up. I'm not sure if they... When they were starting to water up, they pulled the bulkheads out, put the SDS down in, and I watched them go down. They do go down very quickly.
I watch them go in the dry.
Scott, we have FPOM next week. We can easily get this addressed then. Will that work for you?
I just keep an eye on the flows are coming up, and so more and more units out.
Scott, at the most, it would be a couple of hours, absolute most.
Yeah.
Okay.
Realistically, under an hour, I would say.
When was this going to happen? When is it coming out?
Next week?
When are they coming out?
Yeah, they're not coming out.
Well, they will go in and out for biological tests. Yeah.
So that's what he's talking about is, because we're going to get in the spill season. I mean,
well, during the spring creek release, they're not going
to
be in
there. Right. I mean, we'll turn up turbines that you don't want turned up to get this in and out if it's near that flow or level.
I was just thinking that spill starts when those spring creek fish are released the first day of spill, so you've got 100K going somewhere else real quick.
And that's not a problem. I mean, the pools aren't there yet.
Yeah, you should have units available, so it shouldn't be an issue.
Spring.
Until later, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And with our lack of rain, no matter.
Right, but hot weather, so.
Yeah, if it comes off in a
rain. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
We'll see.
They came up 30K or 25K, so.
Mm-hmm. 70 degrees over there, 75. Sunburn and poison.
Okay.
Okay, that's not a huge
deal.
That's good.
Sounds like fun.
Okay, so TSWs are in place. The beach corner collector, we did some repairs out there last November. The repairs didn't work. I think we talked about this very briefly before. We're waiting for the channel to be dewatered. We're going to go back in there, do an assessment, basically come back with a more comprehensive alternative study. As you guys recall, we thought that we could expedite this quickly and get this behind us. We were confident that these quick repairs would take care of the problem. It's a good effort, but it didn't work, so more on this to come.
And about the joints, is that also going to be rolled into this?
We're not sure what the story is with the joints.
Okay.
I know that there's movement out there, but our focus and our concern was what's falling.
Okay.
We might roll this up into the same study.
That's what I was wondering.
We're not sure yet. We're meeting on Monday to discuss that.
Great.
So there's more on this to come.
Go ahead. The CRFM versus O&M funding side of that. Did you have anything to add to that part?
I think that's still a do-out.
Still a do-out, so you didn't have anything on that. Okay.
You might kick Mike or something like that and tell him, we have SEQ coming up here in a couple weeks. And right now with our budgets being, non-existent,
who knows?
We have time in SEQ and something we could take up there and deal with it.
Okay. I know that I spoke with Mike very briefly, and it was just an informal conversation. And based on the rationale that we're still looking at a design issue here, it would make sense to continue this into the CRFM program.
That's how we think. Because we are talking about line items for next year anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 14, yeah.
For 14, so it'd be good to, if it's on there, to get on the budget sooner rather than later.
So rather than speak for Mike, I'll say that he'll bring this up at next
panel. SAT. Yeah. Okay.
And you can tell him you got at least two votes yes, or he's going to get kicked in the shins. So
John can convey that. But Mike is aware, and I think he supports the idea of cleaning this up. I don't think that's going to be a big issue for us. If you guys buy off on that, I think it should be pretty straightforward. Not much to say about the TSB program, I think, but things have not changed so much since the last time we met. We're looking to finish up a BIT document by the end of May, mid-May, I should say. And I think you guys are aware of what we're doing with Ice Harbor. The John Day Lamprey draft installation is complete. We just have to go back in there at the end of April and install a hoist. Basically, the hoist is going to serve to lift up the trap and basically eliminate manhandling that trap or basically to empty it out.
This is Natalie. Has left the conference.
The Dallas North.
Before you leave the hoist issue, is there going to be some coordination? Because obviously, who's going to be basically tasked to operate the hoist? Because once the Lamprey guys come to collect their Lamprey, they're going to have to contact someone with the project to do that. Is there going to be some training for the Lamprey hoist at John Day?
That is what we're supposed to figure out in FPOM and make sure that those guys have the proper training.
On the agenda. Yeah, as long as that's on the agenda for next Thursday, it's fine. I just don't want this to slip through the cracks. Then when Lamprey season comes, like, oh, crap, who can actually play with the hoist? I don't want that to happen.
Okay.
Thank you.
That'll be discussed at the FPOM, but the hoist is pretty straightforward. Very small hoist, and almost like a winch kind of a deal, but still, make sure who's responsible for what.
Certain people at certain projects are very cautious, let's put it that way.
This is what Sean provided for his notes. He wrote, per our discussion at FPOM, fish managers can expect tribal staff to operate the trap daily from about late June, early July through September.
Okay. But we'll just kick that to them to make sure that the tribal staff has people that can figure out who they need to get trained by and that kind of stuff so they can get their training or their certificate or whatever they need so they can actually do that.
Yeah.
Cool. I just want to make sure that was checked and not we come there and they come in and say, what do you mean I can't use the hoist?
Push them through training. I know, it's the core.
Push it correctly.
Some of us have trouble figuring out what to wear at the project, so, I figured
we got a good train too.
I know.
Don't show up in shorts.
I've heard that. How about a kilt, though?
Well, that could be an issue there.
Carhartt kilt?
I can't wear a skirt. You can't wear a kilt.
It's the flip-flops that do it.
Steel-toe flip-flops.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
The AWS for Dallas completed the EDR, completed the ATR. We just started the design document with the Walla Walla pretty much doing that for us. It's under Randy's supervision here. As you guys recall, we're looking at a 30% EDR.
Yeah.
We're waiting for comments. Is that about right, Randy?
Could be comments or
April.
Yesterday, if not sooner.
And we had ours. Yeah, we just had that meeting.
We had a 30%.
Last week. Thursday.
Our comments are in, and that's all you're going to get, I guess. I talked to Ed about it. He doesn't have time, so mostly biological, and at a 30% point, that's probably appropriate.
Right.
We need to, Brad and I probably should sit down and talk a little bit about the approach. Brad's not here, but as long as he's clear on what I was saying, if there's any issues or concerns, he should get in touch with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll respond to the comments.
It's important that we get that part right.
Right.
Very important.
If I recall correctly, for the most part, you guys were pretty amenable, acceptable of what was there.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of issues were dissipation of energy, making sure that we don't basically kill fish as a result of the high pressure that's coming out. Mm-hmm.
There won't be any problem. I mean, whatever fish are going through there are dead. There's just no doubt.
Yeah, they're done.
But we're anticipating that. And that's really why the biological preamble is so important on this thing, so they understand anybody who reads this, and, you know, irrigators, people who are, you know, have screening criteria forced on them, they understand why we're saying that the Corps doesn't need to adhere to our screening criteria for this system. It's a lot of water, so, you know, this is one of those that probably will get a little scrutiny somewhere down the road, and I just want to make sure that we have our rationale clearly defined.
We were going to refine the biological write-up to reflect that, what we have now versus what we are intending to do. Not like, I think we had it in terms of an alternative report. I think you have mentioned that. You know, kind of put the do the write-up according to what we or portray what we are going to do as instead of comparing.
Yeah. Right. No. I. There was a comparison against different alternatives,
but more refined under that.
You need to add the benefit to adults. Why we think it's important, and we need to look at the sort of the absolute effect of the system on juvenile salmonids and lamprey.
There you go.
And you know, those need to be explained, as you know, and it's really a periodicity thing. We're not anticipating running this, maybe once a decade, if ever. So you know, that's why it just needs to be explained. That's why, and the depth, and there's a lot of reasons why we're not concerned about it. You know, but any fish that do get in there, and plus we're putting 3/4-inch, I think, trash rack on there or something like that. So that should keep a lot of critters out, especially adult-sized fish. But some juveniles will go through.
Yeah.
And we have some data from past years on the fish units, the existing fish units with the 7/8-inch trash racks that are on that. So that's the kind of thing to look at that. And, you know, Brad knows this. We talked about it. It's in my memo. The one thing that wasn't in my memo, just to add to that, was Ed and I talked about this a little bit after we finally looked at the pictures, and noticed that you're putting 1.4 KCFS through some really hard turns as they go through that 10-foot conduit. Mm-hmm. And the momentum on those 90-degree bends has got to be tremendous.
Yeah, structures. So. Yeah, I dropped. Talk show that there's some they have done some
I'm sure looked at that and
thrust blocks and the structure as well. As you progress through that,
I mean, you guys are with this stuff, so I don't figure that's a problem.
There is a lot of moment, there's a lot of force.
Yeah, I was looking at that and thinking, whoa, boy, that's okay.
I looked at their computations, and they've done some analysis on the thrust and identified it, and they will, I think, as we progress to the designs.
Who would
want to
lose the day?
No.
Hmm.
Yeah, so structures and hydraulics will get together on that.
Okay.
They may need more support of this project.
Yeah.
More flow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, that's it.
I think we're good.
For now.
I like your response, Gary.
We're going to give you nothing.
Thank you, George.
Wow, that's like what I get at home.
That was recorded too.
I know.
I'm going to clip that out.
Okay. That's going to be your retirement party, Gary. Gary gets nothing.
We're going to skip over Bond Washington Shore Fish Unit Trash Rig. Eric Strickland is scheduled to be here about 11 o'clock, and Ben Filand is supposed to join him as well.
Yeah, are we ever going to have a meeting on that? Like a brainstorming session?
We're going to have an update here. Just be patient.
He's been patient.
I'm being patient. I think
I'm going to keep you in suspense until these guys get here.
Until they retire.
So we've got Vaughn Washington Shore Ladder Improvements. Natalie Richards.
Okay, you want me to go? Okay, so Jay Dells wanted to call in. He's out at a site visit, and I anticipate that you'll have me do all of my update. So I'm going to give him a call, see if he can call in while I'm trying to update Bonner. Okay. So if that makes sense to you.
Sure. I just want to know, are you done working there?
Well, we are, actually.
Was it yesterday?
You're done messing around out there?
Something magically happened. You said, like, almost all the shrimp went back to Washington Shore yesterday.
Yeah, boy, they did, didn't they, in a big way.
Yeah.
They're bouncing back and forth last 3 days.
Hold on just a second while I call Jay and see if he can call in.
Dave, continue.
Please tell me you're working on it, because otherwise I'm going to scratch my head, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I was trying to tell him. I was like, dude, Tony, you're still working.
Banging around, I don't care what.
Yeah.
Well, there was, I was out there, when I was out there 2 days ago.
Yeah,
when I was flipped on Sunday.
Yeah.
So it's Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
That's why I was going to flip back again on Monday.
I know, that's why I was gone.
They must be still working.
They were.
Yeah, because like last Thursday, Friday, I mean, things were, they kind of gone back to where they should, but I bet they took Easter weekend up. I think Monday was like,
heck.
Well, yeah, and yesterday's counts way up, too, on both sides, so they flipped again, so I think
they were back to where they should. It was like 56, 30. Yeah.
And it was like not many to Bradford, so I was like,
okay,
nice job. Look at all that pretty gradient.
A participant has joined the conference.
Hello there, who just joined?
This is Marie Phillips.
Hi.
Hi.
We're just trying to get people together for the next agenda topics.
We're on agenda item number 13.
Hi, Jay. Hey, this is Natalie. I'm calling in from the...
But we're jumping around the agenda, so...
up earlier than I thought. I'm going to go over everything else that I have and leave yours till the very last. Marie Phillips did call in. So I gave you the call, conference call. I'll do it again. 1-888-675-2535. Access code 4849. 586
Just some
twice.
Yeah.
So if you can call in, it's about
10:25. Thanks. That's good. That seems a lot bigger than it seems in the
garage.
It's a lot of
water. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Sorry for the delay. Okay. So I'm going to go over everything else but the pit work. So Marie, I've just called Jay, and I'm hoping he'll call in. He wanted to chime in, but he's out on a site visit. He wants to try to take a break and then call in, but we don't know if that's all going to work. Okay. So Bonneville, Washington Shores. Where we're at is that everything is in, and we are waiting for two pumps from the University of Idaho. The pumps need to be placed on the west end, and what that does is that provides the inch of flow within their part, the collection of the filled collection flume. And we don't have, we have a to be determined date. I tried to clarify that Monday with Hattie and Chris Cadell, so we don't know that detail yet. But the flume, the Fowler flume is in, and the crane is there. They've taken up the platform. I heard that the 55-ton is still there, and we may use it today to do some work. But we've got it all seated, and we're going through some, the flow meter is having a little bit of struggle. They're trying to get that commissioned. Some of the air is affecting the readings. So
flow meter where?
There's a flow meter that tells us how much. If we have, you know, anywhere between 35 and 60 CFS.
Where's it at? Is it?
I believe it's down near the butterfly valve, but it could be up by the DSM too. I have not personally
seen anything
it.
Up, there's a valve up there, but I've seen
there's a butterfly valve. I know that, and I'm trying to picture where that. I wish Steve was here. He would know exactly.
Andy, do you know where that is?
Okay.
I don't know.
Not that important.
I could figure. I could find out and let you know for sure. But that's what they're working through. Is if it's not reading correctly for whatever reason, and they're trying to figure out what the deal is.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is if there's any work around the ladder yet that's. Could be causing vibrations and noises and shadows and all that kind of stuff.
No, this would be, this would actually be within the electrical panels trying to figure
all that stuff.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing you mentioned was the pump, and where's that pump going to be placed?
Way in the, it's one of, they've been using pumps there, John can clarify. They're usually really small pumps, and they put them in just. Okay, so the entrance is here, and then you have the big wall, and then the west wall, westmost wall, they're planning on putting those two small pumps in.
Well, what are they, I guess what I'm after is where are they going to be pulling from? What's the, is this fish-free water, or?
Yeah, this is like 3 CFS or 2 CFS.
These are the pumps for the collection box, correct?
Yeah, the collection
box. Right, I understand what they're for. I just want to make sure that they're screened properly.
Are they putting them in the same place you have, or Noah had them in?
Yeah, they'll be taking it right out of the tail race.
Okay, then
just north of.
But they are screened properly for fish screening criteria.
They've been using
it
for years. I don't.
Sean's working on a new intake surrounding box that fits the screen criteria.
Yeah, that came up a while back.
No, I didn't.
Somebody brought it up, and so we followed up on it. And what we've told Project is Ben that all those pumps need to have NOAA screen criteria. Screens on them.
Okay. I don't know that detail, Gary, so I'll be happy to talk with Sean about it. He hasn't mentioned it to
me at all.
I'm
not trying to trip you up or anything here, but I mean, make sure that when you put new ones in like that, that they have
meet criteria. Yes.
Some sort of box ground, no screening on them. So.
I think there may have been some of the delay in getting those pumps here.
Okay.
So they kind of had to redesign at the last minute
to comply
with criteria.
Go back and do that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
So you guys are aware of the location then? Where the pumps are located?
I'd have
to see. It's basically
a
very downstream.
A lot of water out there.
Very downstream edge of the monolith. You know where the riprap bank from the Washington Shore comes down right along the monolith?
Yeah. Yep.
And then you have kind of like a dead spot there between the north downstream entrance and the riprap bank.
Right. You're putting that right where I want to put my shad extraction facility.
Yeah. That's exactly where it is. Right
there. They're going to have to be buzzed.
Luckily, they're removable pumps.
I thought that's what those fishermen were there for.
Well, they're just not very effective. I'm talking about, taking them all out.
Chair and a fishing pole?
Yeah, retirement.
Gary, Gary's retirement plan. Gary wants to get a little more automated.
Fish wheel. We need to go there, but okay, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that definitely needs to be. They definitely have to have criteria screens on them. Yep.
Okay. Well, we found out this morning, Brent is calling Sean, but we have PVC pipe on the pit antenna wiring that goes to the top, but the top so many feet, and I don't know exactly without looking at the plan sheets, our electrical accidentally put it in galvanized steel. So we're going to have trouble reading the pit, signal.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked Brent to see if he could get that fixed today with the 55-ton crane still there, but I don't know if we can. So stay tuned. I just found out about it. Didn't know. Okay, so anything else on Bonneville Washington Shores?
The very top antenna going to the collection box, though, that it does not have that problem, correct?
It doesn't? I don't know.
I don't think it
I haven't
does.
Looked. I just got it half hour ago. I haven't had a chance to research what at all is affected by that.
So at the end of all that, Natalie, what's the water update? What are you thinking the thing's going to be running?
Depends on the pumps.
It all depends on those pumps. I mean, we can send flow in. We've got, our 36 inches working.
They attract the box, but
they, it would probably still attract lamprey. And if they made it up the ladder, then what? There's a collection box right where, it joints off a little bit, and then there's a collection box. So it may be that they would sit there.
Bucket brigade
by trying to get
a couple
them out
hoses.
Of there. I don't know actually what would
just
happen.
Garden hoses.
But until I know that pump, until they can give me a date, I honestly don't know.
Okay,
and I,
so you're still waiting for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least the Fowler part is working. Praise be to God.
Okay. Yeah.
That you don't need to put that comment in the notes.
Three quarters for posterity.
My retirement party, right? Yeah, 4 years later. Anyway, adult salmon. Okay, so we received. We've been kind of funding constrained because of all this CRA stuff. Anyway, we're in the process of working through the. Kelt overwintering steelhead work and steelhead parity research working. So I've asked Katrina to work on that, and so we try to get to Sean to get all that stuff moving. So that everything else is actually out and already working. So that's all I know about adult studies. So is there anything more on that? Questions? Concerns? Okay. John Day North Ladder. Okay. So I apologize. I didn't know that there was some confusion around the site visit. I had assumed that was already taken care of and all was good. So anyway, I provided the picture here. This is what it looks like as if you're standing in that transition bend and you're looking out, basically headed west.
Right at
so
the
new grading, you see the lamprey, what I call freeways on the side. Mm-hmm. You can see the ballroom floor. And now, this was before they had the ramp in. The lamprey ramp actually sits basically. Oh, did you get one, Carol?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The lamprey ramp sits to the right of the photo right now, mm-hmm. and it goes all the way to the top. It's all the way
apex up. Apex of the bollards.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. The apex of the bollards, right. Okay. Okay, so the only thing we're waiting for is the lifting beam and the trash racks. They all are sitting at Transco waiting for the lifting beam to be able to lift them in. So there was a struggle there. We got that worked out. And so hopefully by mid to maybe, hopefully by May, that would be my guess. But I don't have a firm date right now. On the pumps themselves, one, two, and so basically what we're doing is we've gone back and we're doweling, because there was movement in the diffuser, so we're doweling them in to keep them from moving. We've only been operating pumps that have been doweled because we don't want to risk any failure. And so one, two, and six are up running and meeting criteria. I heard it was at the tailwater, or the head was at 1.6 yesterday. So that's good news. We're still, I think that they doweled and tested number four yesterday, but I don't know what the results are.
Let's back up a bit. Doweling, sure. Explain that to me, doweling. What's that?
Yeah, so when pump five failed for the second time, we found out that there was movement. I wish I had a picture of the pump.
Very bottom.
Very bottom piece shifted. And so we don't know if the bearing, which sits above it, seized and then it shifted, or if the diffuser shifted and the bearing seized.
But the bearing seized.
The bearing seized failed. Right. So in order to eliminate one failure mode, we came in and we bolted the whole diffuser down so it can't shift at all.
Okay.
So
okay. That's all the water.
On number six, when we tested it, we didn't have any failure.
Okay.
So we're thinking, and we did it on one. We had one failed after 90 hours. We went in and bolted that down. We haven't had any failure. So
cross your fingers,
because the subcontractor had not provided, in my view, a clear corrective action plan as to what happened and why. Which is really a struggle for us.
Yeah, because do you sign off on them and let them go?
We're not. We're kind of pushing back on them.
Yep.
I mean, so
we don't leave it to O&M.
Because we want them. Yeah, we don't want it to be an R&M, right? O&M mess. So we're fighting back on that against them.
What was the trash rack issue?
So the detail is that the spacing's different, so it's heavier. So the only thing being that we have is not good enough to lift it.
Oh, I see.
And then we also have a racking issue with the lifting beam.
This is the trash rack for the pumps.
Trash rack for the pumps.
Okay.
The water for the entrance.
Changed it, right?
So we had to change it to more steel. More steel, heavier.
So you had to come up with that part's still not quite all worked out.
Yeah,
but there is a rack in there.
Definitely racks in there. And it's the inch in, you know. So we're hoping that there's no debris issue.
It's the old rack that's in there. The new rack isn't in yet, so you're still waiting to get that done.
Exactly.
So we're taking a bit.
And then
risk.
Once the new rack comes in, you'll have the new trash rack that will go with the new rack.
A new lifting beam.
Right. The new the lifting beam.
Well, the rack's
going
to have to match
the
new
rake
rack.
Too.
The rake's going to have to match
yeah,
the new
rack.
Yeah,
rake has to match.
So,
and I'm not sure exactly where that's at. It's probably a Transco waiting to come out.
One thing leads to another. All the way down. So okay.
Yeah.
We're up and running, and
I'm not
anticipating
criteria.
Any problems there. So
let's
pump those.
And did you happen to say when you thought the rest of the dowling would be done?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's all going to be done by the end of April.
Okay.
That's what they told me.
Have all the pumps in.
Right, all the pumps done by end of April.
So you're thinking that they probably have four pumps available right now around that. You said you have one, six, and two, and you said four you think is dowled, so four will be available sometime shortly. Okay, that should get us through. Yeah, that should get us through four. Unless flows really do something weird on us, that should cover us for the next little bit.
We ran with four last season, too.
Yeah.
We had that one spike that came through April. It was really brutal on us.
Yeah.
We made it. Throw the bottle, let them go. But, you know, those four pumps we had. So I don't anticipate an issue.
Okay.
Are there any questions for me on Dundee North?
No.
Okay. And I hate to interrupt, but I don't know your name.
Brian.
You're Brian. And you work for?
Bonneville.
Okay. Nice to meet you. Okay. Let's see. Where am I at? Okay. You don't really care about Fall Creek Fish Facility, do you? No, because that's Willamette. So.
In another life, maybe, but.
Not today.
I was a kid.
Well,
I went there.
Okay. I was hoping that Jay would call in, but I guess I'm not going to have Jay. So, Marie, you may have to help me on this, but.
Okay.
So, I'm going to brief you on the Dalles Pit work. Okay, we had our site visit on the 25th, and it was actually some, you know, pretty good news. We, you know about the thin wall that we put in with Bonneville's help, and we went out and we looked at it. We looked at how the flow is coming through both of those count windows, and it looks pretty promising. I see a couple flow, eddies that, if we added, it kind of comes in and then goes around, if we made it a little bit more smooth, we would be fine. Mm-hmm. So Marie wasn't out. She wasn't there. She was on spring break. Marie, I need to get you those pictures. I did try to capture.
And actually, I did see the video that that Jay took. I think it was Jay who took it while he was out there.
This was north or south?
Both.
Or east, I mean. I have some video, too.
Yeah, so Marie, I mean, if I misstate something or if you want to add something with respect to what you saw.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't hear there for a little bit. I did look at the video that Jay took while he was out on the 25th, and that looked pretty good. And in addition, we did do, for whoever is there that didn't know about this, we did do a CFD model of the East Gale Station, and that was incorporating the alternative that we selected in the EDR, so the extension of the count slot on either end, and those changes were negligible that we found in that as far as the flow patterns and magnitudes and everything goes. So that was good news there, too.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So anyway, well, as a team, we're going to meet and try to figure out how do we make it permanent. But anyway, okay, so on the John Day North slot, they actually... I'm sorry, the Delta done that northmost antenna. The person that put it in has it, it's a little bit skewed for whatever reason, and Don Worf didn't catch it, so they have to, it's causing a little bit of a struggle there, and we think we have to get in and
is
move
it moving?
It back. No, it's not moving, it just didn't,
it's just
they didn't
not
install it.
Square.
Yeah, it's not square, so we're going to see about how we can fix that soon, because it's affecting the flow a little bit.
Okay. Hey, Natalie, this is Don Worf. Yeah, Biomark has agreed to correct that, and they will do it at the next water-down opportunity.
Okay, great. Thanks, Don. Well, I didn't know you were on the line.
That's probably going to be who knows when. So
it's not so bad that it would affect fish, but I don't think. I mean,
I'd like to take a look at it. That might be something that get out there and see that. I haven't seen the north side yet.
Okay, so
I did look at the south side. I mean, there are some,
according to the video,
some areas.
We
so, Corey, you can make some video to F1.
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
Okay, well, yeah, correct, that's fine.
Because
take a look at it.
Hard to really see.
Not always have your travel flexibility.
And it won't affect the performance of the antenna. It's more aesthetic at this point, but they should have known better, and we called them on it.
Well, it's in, so I'll take a quick look at it just to see what we have there and the other side. Plus, we're intending to look more closely at that with radio tagged fish this year in the adult study. You know, we've got, I think, Rosado has antennas, at least I've heard they did, set up appropriately to get any delay that might occur in that area. I don't expect any, but, there was a little hydraulic shadow from the downstream end of the east antenna when I looked at it, which...
The thin wall? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it doesn't, it does stick out in the flow a bit there. The upstream one's not a problem because of the way the flow contracts around.
It comes right in.
But the downstream one's, there's some shadow there, it's something that...
I noticed also on that downstream side on the east one that it looked like from the video that there was a little bit, and I think this is what you're talking about, Gary, just downstream of the downstream antenna. Was kind of an eddy area on the left side of the channel.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, there's a, they protrude in and they do create a bit of a shadow there. I don't anticipate it to be a problem for salmon. I'm not sure about lamprey going through there. Further discussion about how to make these kind of a permanent, reduce the footprint or the shadow.
So could you repeat what you just said about salmon versus lamprey with that? It does not pose an issue, you didn't think, for salmon, is that right?
I don't think it will, right. And okay. We're going to be cautious and look with the radio tracking study this year. For lamprey, they're a little more sensitive to
you know, these kind of issues.
We do have lamprey. There's a lamprey tracking study done this year. I don't know if they also are going to, put antenna there, take a look.
These are RT or acoustic?
Well, I think they're doing RT.
Okay, well, then they should be using the same antennas.
Yeah.
Well, okay, that'll be good. I mean, I think we're going to, it's just, it's not smooth. It's not as good as it was.
Right.
I don't think it's a problem. And down the road, I think that's the thing that, you know, for permanence, I think probably what we would try to, you know, achieve is that.
Sort of return it back to how it was.
Right, yeah. Right. If we agree that's the place to be in the long run.
Yeah, because then, you know, then we get into, you know, having to excavate out some concrete and move it back in. And is it worth that to you? I mean, that's where we're at, and the team is trying to
figure. And how much is that going to be? I mean, with the ferrite tiling being as thin as it is now, it may not have to be that deep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Don's going to come up with some new wonderful ideas here, I'm sure.
It'll be aluminum foil next to it.
Yeah, aluminum foil. All we'll need to just line it, and that'll be it.
Yeah.
Right, Don?
Paper thin.
Way thin. Great. Okay, so we have some minor things to add. Some of the collection areas aren't really weather friendly, so we're thinking about how because there are a bunch of computers sitting down in a hole,
basically.
So we're working through those issues. And anyway,
I met with the site carpenter and one of the maintenance supervisors, and they are going to put together an estimate to see how much it would cost to put a wall across there. They'll be getting that to Sean.
Okay, that'd be good.
Something more than blue tarps and a prayer.
Yeah, right.
And bungee cords.
So then at one of my meetings, Mike had mentioned that you guys want to put John Day Nowarth back on.
Yeah, I'd like to see John Day go back on into the discussion. Yeah.
So we have not thoroughly looked at that at all.
Sure. Okay, no, I think there's some issues too.
Yeah, Sean was saying it's going to be more challenging.
It's not as easy. I was looking at it too the other day when we were out there. I was like, oh boy, a lot of metal. It's not quite the same configuration. There's fins, which we actually worked pretty hard to figure out the hydraulics for that north ladder. And now
exactly.
I haven't looked at the south, but the north has some issues. So. I was thinking we'd probably get together and have a discussion, once, we've got the temporaries in, we're working, now let's, have another discussion about where we go next with the permanent.
Yeah, we would like to submit some conceptual drawings for how we see the thin bodies might fit into the John Day ladders, and we agree the bolt counting windows, the pinch down point is very short. So it would be a lot of remodeling. We're leaning towards the overflow weirs or the vertical slots.
Yeah, and that's
within the next 4 or 5 weeks, we should have some conceptual drawings kicked out.
Yeah, that would be good. Looking at that other alternative,
I think
is a good idea for John Day.
Especially the vertical slots. I have concerns about the overflow because there's so many antennas and how high do you go, but we've had that struggle. But the vertical slots could be easily
implemented. Yeah, especially the first couple when they don't have actuators.
Yeah, wow, that would have been a great idea to put those on when we actually made that modification, wouldn't it have been?
Yeah.
Whoops.
Oh, well. Okay.
Feel
anyway.
I know, so it was actually made it. I was like, what?
Okay, so to be determined. Okay, that's all I have on that.
Thank you.
So are there anything else you need to chat with me about?
That's it. That's good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
I'm glad we're done with Bonneville. The grass is growing again on the grassy knoll.
Come back.
The
dandelions.
Got a few new pipes sticking out of it.
Yeah, some wildflowers.
Sean put on his notes, lamprey minor fishway modifications, PDT.
Oh, that's not me.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with Gibbons.
Our participant has left the conference.
I don't know anything about it, so I can't help you on that.
Okay. I'll just update on what he wrote here.
Okay. See you guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Natalie.
Yep.
So I'm assuming you did Bonneville Stilling Basin.
We did that, yes.
Yeah, because I saw it already passing.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Her whole message was, it's done.
Done. Are we going to have a follow-up, though, on the migration of rocks?
Right. I pushed back on that. I said, hey, wait a minute. What about the rest of the story? And she goes, well, stay tuned.
It's going to be a recurring item on this agenda.
Yeah. And it'll be recurring. I'm done. What do you want?
No, they're working on a what's some sort of report for the brass to look at on alternatives.
We'll see where that goes.
So where are we going?
And I also mentioned that we have a biop. I'm concerned about that. So that's going
to be a good thing to put out here.
We're down to
10?
I'd like to hear an update on that.
Well, 10, Eric Strickland and Ben Filon are scheduled to be here in about 10 minutes or so.
Okay.
And then the avian predation actions.
Yeah.
Cindy says she was going to be here at
11.
Yeah,
she's got a meeting at 10, so
we're
going to have to...
GSAT's transmitter downsize, I don't have an update for you on that one.
All we heard from Brett is it's all moving forward. Everybody's
left the conference.
Forever.
He's been out all week.
And it's inexpensive.
I don't have anything. You don't have anything free there.
Super cheap.
Free.
They're free.
So let's carry that.
By the software. Yeah.
Yeah, no, Brad basically gave us a quick update last week at SRBJ and said
okay.
Everything to see moving forward. So.
Okay, fantastic.
On schedule.
So this lamprey minor fishway modifications PDT, let's add that as number 18 on the schedule.
What was 17?
Natalie Richards.
Oh, okay.
John Day, North Lab.
Oh, I see. Yeah. It's on the second page.
So I'll just read you what he wrote here. I'm not real familiar with this. Andy Traylor just left. I don't know if he's involved with this or not, or Brian, are you involved with this? It's a lamprey minor fishway modifications PDT. The PM is Amy Gibbons.
Huh. Is it going to be at Bonneville?
Yes. Yeah. Dowell's. Lamprey minor fishway modifications.
Minor.
Well, let me go through the notes here. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
So the PDT had site visits to the Dowell's and Bonneville dams in the past month to scope out and discuss potential minor fishway mods, ladder maintenance schedules, etc. The purpose of this project is to complete many of the hopper list, relatively low risk, low cost, modifications that have been listed for each dam.
Okay, so what are they?
The original charter for this project suggested installation of diffuser plating at the Dowell's and John Day in the first year, pending hydraulic review.
Uh-huh.
This was based on ladder availability, etc. Uh-huh. Following the site visits, discussions of the recent U of I Adult Lamprey Passage Synthesis Report and considering the amount of a design and contracting time remaining in the current fiscal year, the PDT recommends focusing on Bond Bradford Island Fish Ladder, B Branch. So, under B Branch,
put a bunch of straps on there, at least holding the diffusers down. And if you make the straps wide enough, they can use them as a Lamprey Freeway.
Yeah, Freeway. I like that. Well, that's the idea. Lamprey Freeway is to hold the diffusers down for another couple of years.
Yeah. Is that a master plan?
You know, was,
I like it.
Those straps just got to keep the valves working.
So he's got...
Just keep open.
He's got under B Branch, replace diffuser grating with 3/4-inch grating to raise the... and raise to flush with the fishway floor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Andy, this is the... you stole my page there. Lamprey Minor Fishway Modifications PDT.
Okay.
And
sure.
TL is Amy Gibbons. The PM is Amy Gibbons.
I've heard of that PDT, but I don't know anything about it.
Oh, you're not on it or anything like that?
Okay.
Is anyone at Bonneville on it?
You should be on it.
Someone needs to be on it.
Andy Traylor needs to be on this. Somebody from Bonneville. Hold on a second.
Well, no problems.
We got nothing for you, Gary.
Yeah.
I just want to read this bullet from Sean. Following the site visits discussed in the recent U of I Adult Lamprey Passage Synthesis Report and considering the amount of design and contracted time remaining in the current fiscal year, the PDT recommends focusing on Bond Bradford Island Fish Ladder B Branch. Replace diffuser grating with 3/4-inch grating and raise to flush with the fishway floor.
Oh, they've got to do the other end. 3-7.
No, we don't want to do that.
Well, that's what these notes say.
That. I keep telling them, leave our diffusers alone.
Gosh, we like narrower diffusers.
No, not that. Flush with the floor.
Flush with the floor, that's what it
says
right here.
Instead of our diffuser pits that we have.
Yeah, I know.
We want to keep those so that we don't
kill fish to hold up in.
Yeah, when we need water.
We put an action to include Bonneville Project biologists to PDT.
Two sides to that issue.
There are,
you're thinking that it's better to have the pits there than not.
For those for Bradford Island, I would say yes, because you don't oftentimes get enough people to do both branches.
Right, got it. Yeah. So that's an issue. The other issue is 3-7, and not 9, but 7 for sure is going to have to be re-racked, and that's a huge.
Yeah.
It is the one. That's the huge intake. So yeah, that's a, that would have to be a re-rack to 7 or whatever. Not 7/8, but 3/4.
3/4.
You know, there is a report on 3/4 inch grading. It's something we should revisit, you know, on what their recommendation is for on the upstream side. I mean, you can re-rack 1 inch to 3/4 without doing anything on the upstream side. You're just going to have more O&M to deal with.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't want to blow off diffusers.
Right.
The season at
more crap on
that. This, you'll get a severe reaction. Yeah. In that one I saw many, many years ago, a total disaster at the Dalles because of that.
So. Well, if you don't make your diffusers flush, then you are buying into ramps then, basically.
I would be okay with that to help.
Ramps and plates.
Lamprey, that because it creates a safety
ramps
pool
ramps
for
there sure. Because they're in the pools. What you would want is probably the highway center along the side.
Well, the side, and then also if you do have a little sharp edge because it's a pit, you're going to want something to make that, because they have trouble making those little
edges. You should be able to swim through. It depends on where the edge is.
Exactly. I need to take a look.
Yeah.
So,
you could, maybe we should just fix the fishway and get rid of the spalling and not have all these pits and holes in it.
That's been a buy-up item since, I think, about 95 or so.
Yeah, basically. You know, glacier pace.
Yeah, that's going to be the next one, too.
You know, he does say here the PDT is aware of the potential cost and debris concerns of switching to 3/4-inch grading at Bradford Island and will work closely with Bond Project and Fitterwig to ensure that systems work effectively and don't create additional risks. And Sean Askelson is the hydraulic engineer on the PDT, and he's aware of the potential issues.
I think Bradford should pay for a total rehab of the Bradford Island.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely it. Yeah, that's a great one.
I like that one.
Nice
try. $5 million, I'll do it. $5 million a year, take a few years, but we'll get there.
Yeah, a few years.
It's important.
And you'll need to do it every year.
Yeah, well, if you don't get Lambert through there, it's important. What difference is it if you do anything upriver?
Okay, we'll just shut that ladder down and put him through another ladder. And it's not my fault that NOAA is being ineffectual with their RPA implementation.
It's really dry. At least it's in there.
Yeah, something.
He's just writing on the coattails of it.
I know.
So some of the...
this is all we got.
Scoping and scheduling for out years at Bond, the Dalles, and John Day. Tasks discussed but not finalized include round entrance, weir crest, serpentine weir lamprey orifices, rounding corners and serpentine weir sections, install diffuser plating at the Dalles and John Day, and develop gravity flow LPSs for transition pools.
Yeah, orifices I'm going to fight.
Once a list of suggested future action is developed, he's going to circulate it to Fitterwig for review and comment.
Shorter. Just one narrow one?
Yeah.
That's fine.
But 3 inches, I don't want to go with. Well, not with all the socket coming through.
Yeah, 3 inch I think is much. I think you go with 2, 2.5.
That's just for the record, down the road, we'll have to talk about that. The other stuff is...
Well, the thing is, we got time. This is like something that, to be honest, why we haven't done a better job of evaluating what lamprey, what orifice height we need, because we just guessed at 3 inches.
Yeah,
so it was just complete, like, what do we think? 3 inches, sure. I mean, it would be smart to go through and have, like, Mary Moser or something like that do some studies and say, like, which ones are lamprey?
And they're observing what we have up there. Yeah. Of course, those are all 3 inches. So.
Yeah, that's the problem. So that's what I'm doing, like... If you guys don't want, if you're uncomfortable with 3 inches, let's take a look at 2, 2.5 and see if you see a significant difference. If we don't for lamprey passage, then go with 2.
I'm telling you what happened with lamprey a few years ago, a couple years ago. So.
Okay, it was only 2.
Mm-hmm.
So it was only 2.
Yeah, it's time I was close by and hurry. I'm getting old. Sorry.
Old man of the river.
Yes, gosh.
Here the waves.
Retirement's groupers.
I know, he told us on FF. If you didn't know, Rick Kruger's not here because he's retiring in June.
That's what Doug said.
Yeah. He's out in June. I don't know.
He did his quick math. His quick math on PERS 1, like PERS 1 or work for 4 years. Screw it.
I don't know Larry Swenson much, but he's pulling the plug too.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's getting thin.
Old-time engineers.
So you're going to see more of us crotchety old bastards.
Yeah.
Yep. I think you're kind of seeing it right here.
Yeah, I know. I was like, where's everybody else?
Yeah.
One more thing to add is, you know, he put a bullet here. Fitterwig can expect short turnaround requests on design reviews, similar to the John Day South lamprey trap process.
I don't mind that, but it would be nice to have some meetings, at least ahead of time, to kind of get some of the stuff flushed out. Because it's like, it's all well and good to just have a, just like, throw some plans and that kind of stuff and have a quick review, but it's like part of the thing we need to do is like have some sit down and do some brainstorming sessions and some of the stuff and say, hey, this is what we're thinking of doing, because that saves us a lot of time if we can get our concerns put out before we put documents out, because honestly, with the sheer number of documents I'm supposed to be reviewing and the ones I actually get reviewed, it's not pretty.
Oh, no. Yeah, we're covering too much stuff.
The prioritization and scheduling rationale would be based on trying to improve passage for the greatest number of lamprey, but will also include other considerations such as ladder availability, design time estimates, etc.
So we're just considering this kind of a heads up that stuff coming, but we're going to need a lot more discussion about all this stuff.
Yes.
The diffuser and diffuser plating designs will be largely lifted from other projects, so fitter we can expect a 90% review as soon as May 6th. According to
90%. May 6th. Current schedule. Which year? 14?
90%.
Can I take all of this?
Sure.
90%.
No.
It's 390.
This is all
holy balls. Well, hope they're recording with somebody.
So we are down to Washington Shore Fishing the Trash Rate. Avian predation actions. And so we're waiting for Eric. Eric, do you know if Eric is available?
I actually thought I'd be seeing him here, so I can try to run up and grab
Let's
him.
Try to grab him.
Yeah.
So we're ready.
Can always do a quick potty break too, like a 5-minute.
Let's take a break and we'll try to get Eric
in the bathroom. Break.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Una bomb.
Okay, folks, on the phone.
5-minute potty break.
We're going to take a break here for a few minutes.
Recycle your coffee.
Does anybody want to go get coffee? I've been dying for coffee. Does anybody want to go get some?
I don't know.
Has left the conference.
Anyone?
And I have to get back. And the great thing is I have to get frisked again if I come back.
All right.
And as much fun as it is, they're now actually checking the bottom of my sandals.
Wow.
I'm going to really, you're checking the bottom of my sandals?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
just in case you stepped in something good.
I asked
them. Oh, you know, they make Buggy take her shoes off, too.
Really?
I'm like, what am I at the airport? I'm going like really sandals. It was great when the guy would actually like would wand by things he thought I might have a weapon. But right. I said, dude, that's why I'm wearing the socks and the sandals. You don't have to wand my ankles now. He's wanding by my shoes. Are you checking for dog poop? What's going on?
What's he looking for?
Body scanners pretty soon.
I know. That's what I'm waiting for.
Like,
ooh,
yours.
Ooh, put on a few pounds there.
Frisked and lift up your leg and show your shoes at the airport.
No, that's
I refuse to take my shoes off sometimes if I'm feeling particularly spiteful.
You?
I challenged this guy at the Kansas City airport, and I said, what happens if I don't take my shoes off? Well, you'll have to go through secondary investigation. I'm like,
Same screen.
Okay.
All right.
And I walked through, and he just freaked out. He's waving his arms, yelling, and this woman calmly walks over.
A participant has left the conference.
Wipes it. Can I see your other foot? Wipes it. Puts it in this little analyzer. I'm like, can you really tell all that when it goes through the x-ray machine? She just looks at me and says, you're free to go.
Get away from me.
That's what I figured.
Well, it's supposed to be checking for chemical residues.
I was carrying a baby, and I was like, screw you. I am not taking my shoes off. I just watched the mom walk through with her shoes partially on, carrying her baby and diaper bag and everything.
It's crazy. You know, I mean, you're trying to keep track of your boarding pass and everything else at the same time, you know, we'll take your billfold out and set it on the side. Wait a minute.
And they want you to take, like, your belt off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, belt goes off. Belt,
hope it doesn't hold your pants up.
Yeah, so now you're by halfway through, your pants go, okay, you know, you don't need an x-ray now. You see it all.
What else do you want to check out? Should I bend over and cough? I mean, what do I need to do? I didn't know this was so full of damn.
In Texas, I also was kind of agitated, and something kept beeping. I was like, would you like me to take off the bra? I'm sure it has underwire in it. And that poor security guy, he turned bright red, and he's like, no, ma'am, you can go through. That's what I thought. There's just sometimes I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, I've seen that several times in lines where people, not me, but others, have gotten just kind of a little bit testy about it. And, you know, I mean, at one point, I thought they were going to throw the guy back out of the lobby and say, you're done, you're not going anywhere.
Well, and I try not to be over, I ask first, well, what happens if? What if I don't take my shoes off?
Yeah, well, you go right back out to the lobby and you don't fly.
All right, well, then I'll take them off. But when it's just...
I was home and they just got out of Portland like 2 months ago. And you go through security, they go through your bag, they screen your bag. Right. Then, like, right at the airport terminal, like, right before you get on the plane, they're like, the TSA is going to do some random searching. It's like, are you serious? Like, why? Like, what is...
Now you've already gone through...
Why do you need to search the bag?
Because they're worried about someone might have given you something in between.
Well, no, it was just like, if you had a backpack, like, they sort of opened up the top zipper and just, like, looked in, and then, like, female purses, they were just, like, kind of shuffling their hand through. I'm like,
that's it.
What are you actually hoping to achieve from this? Like,
nothing.
Just in case you had a gun.
They want to see if they want to see what's on the surface.
Oh, he's like, might have had a balloon in or something, or what, you know.
Materialized out of
thin air.
Yeah.
Well, I did a drop in the garbage can. You didn't know.
It sounds good.
There's nothing but keep people afraid. As long as they're afraid, they'll do whatever you want.
Well, that's part of it.
It is hilarious, though, because when we were in Europe coming back, the guy, I was seeing my shoes, I says, oh, dude, you're American. Quit stripping. It was hilarious. They were just like, so, you stupid Americans. It was hilarious.
Yeah. You would think London Heathrow would have, like, the most secure airport.
So they
airport
don't do any of that stuff like we do?
Though you go to a museum over in London, and you will have to empty your backpack and remove... Oh, yeah, that it was over in London. But then the Liberty Bell, I went to go look at that, and they send you through a metal detector. You'll have to take your belt off. I'm like, why? Because I'm going to beat another crack in it? Are you serious? Oh, I was... I said, don't you have one of those little wander thingies? No, something's beeping me.
Have to take everything off until we get it.
Yeah.
All right.
No, that's the way DC
take my
is.
Hair
all
out.
Buildings in DC are that way.
Yeah, the only thing about Heathrow is his parents have MP5 machine guns. So it's like, first, like.
Yeah, well, I remember when we did that in Dallas, Fort Worth. It's like 416.
Yeah, they're
walking up and down. We probably saw it.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the days when we used to come on Nordic, you're going to have to start going.
If you would actually do something down there.
Yeah, I'll tell you how you think
you get down to Starbucks.
That's what I'm saying. All you gotta do down there is go to TSP. I don't need to go down for TSP. That's like the longest term.
Where are we going to sit on now?
Be swirl, toilet,
wash your shorts, issue of trash rake.
Are they gonna put a big ice out?
Oh, yeah. Front is there. Are we gonna put a fix? Are we gonna go to Capitol?
For both. One of each.
Oh, no, because I know EPA's pushing for put a couple of capitals there to put a fix for the rest.
We're just doing two. Then we're not going to do anything else. We're just going to do two.
How are you going to test that?
Two units. With every fish in the river with no spill.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Well, sure.
No.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, hey, let's look at these backpack tests.
Yeah. He wants to do it. Yeah, he's already got on the canary now.
Oh, Jesus. They're going to do higher volume, but then you have to redesign the whole gate. And if you have to put the gate, you have to put the gate.
They're going to take the screens out. It's going to be a bypass system.
Boo.
And these are going to be fish friendly.
How many minutes are we
going to have? If Noah buys on this,
I will
shoot my guts.
Well, it won't be me. I'm going to be tired of living with you.
Thanks.
I didn't recognize
you. And Trevor,
you don't pay attention to it. It is
complicated. Well,
it's not like a new project.
I've got them all written. I just need to put them in Dr. Chen.
What's the same?
Though, I mean, have we got anything from the review, the public review?
What they
oh, no.
For other
no,
things,
they saw. I'm sure it's coming. They always put it in the last couple of days.
This is like volume one. This is coming down the pipe from here to
India.
So, you know, they either we have in kind, or they can do something with higher capacity. And if they do that, they can do it well.
Yeah, they touch high capacity.
That's where they're going to go.
If you could believe
well, George has finally told the world that he's going.
Yeah.
George
Miller.
Oh, he finally signed on the dotted line.
Yeah, at the end of this month is his last day.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
So he actually going to work right up to the end.
Yeah. He'll be working.
So, okay. Meeting after this?
Everybody's back. Let's take the phone off of you. Unmute that. Hello, folks on the phone. We're back.
Oh, one of them.
Did Tammy ever make it out of Kansas City?
Yes, I did.
She had to rent a car and drive.
And I didn't take my shoes off.
Fortunately, Tammy's not stubborn.
She's stubborn.
Not my fault. It's the Irish heritage.
Learn genetics. I've tried.
Okay, so the next time is Bonneville, Washington Shore, fishing at Trash Rake.
Okay. again, I'm Eric Strickland. I'm the PM for the project, in case you don't remember.
Well, we've had so many, we can't keep track of y'all.
Oh, I know it. I think I'm six or seven.
I think you're seven. Yeah. Lucky number seven.
Does everybody have the handout?
No.
You know, I had printer problems in the office, and I didn't make copies except for share.
Here, Gary and I can share.
You guys can look at that.
Can you email it to me?
Yes. Tammy will have all the handouts that were provided today, and they will be on the Fitterwig website along with the minutes.
Okay. Well, on there is at the top, just as a reminder, is the project goal. It says to allow for effective and efficient debris removal without shutting down Bonneville Powerhouse 2 fish units. The solution shall be coordinated with the Lamprey Passage PDT for consideration of Lamprey design criteria. Yeah. So, all right, so we did the design stress/VE study. That was back in November. I think everybody's aware of that. Anxiously awaiting the results.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, we don't have the report yet. So, just so you know. The two things that came out of it, though, are the existing rake that's being used now is more effective than we thought in talking with the operators. It turns out it works a lot better than we initially thought. And then the other takeaway is we developed some options, but before we can finalize the report, we need to get a little bit more information on it. And so we'll talk about that in a second, about CFD modeling. If you look, the options that were considered, obviously everything from the 2001 DDR was included. We looked at an automatic rake system. Briefly, an automatic rake system is not favored by the project or the PDT at this point. We looked at what's available, and the technology, it just isn't there for us in this application. I think it would be another swing and a miss if we went with that. So there'll be more in the report on that. That's it in a nutshell. We looked at additional racks in the bulkhead slots, trying to catch more debris. Wasn't a real favorable option, but it was something we considered. Rehabilitating the manual rake, doing something there to try to make it more effective, or actually, I can't remember anything else on that right now.
Yeah, if they were to continue using the manual rake, we look at rehabbing the function of the rakes. Go through it, make sure everything's up to date and in proper good working order, essentially.
Okay. And then in there was a four-bay berm and then a curtain. Now, these are actually being looked at together. We've started, that's the additional information we need. We started CFD modeling with PNNL. We've sent them some money, and we want to know how effective it might be. So the reason we came to that is a very likely or potential solution is if the existing rake is pretty effective, more effective than we thought, modifying it may not get much bang for our buck. But if we can avoid having some of the debris get in there, that could pay dividends. So at any rate, they're looking at doing that. And essentially, the curtain would be something like a 10-foot curtain, something like that. It's got to be tested in the
also
model.
Known as a beach
that would come out some distance off the dam.
I wasn't going there.
And then possibly in concert with a berm that would be out in front. We'll have to wait and see what the model results tell us.
Where? Berm, where?
Approximately 240 feet in front of the face of the dam.
How far across?
Approximately, I want to say, what do we say, about 90 feet.
Go all the way around?
The berm would just be the leading edge of the curtain.
There's going to be multiple dimensions modeled to see if we can make something work. And it could be that a curtain works and we don't get a berm, or vice versa, or whatever. And the model will be capable of running these what-if scenarios. And so we may actually get some ancillary benefit to try to get some of that sediment stuff to prevent that from getting in there. So that could be, while not our focus, could be something good that comes out of it.
Did you guys ever look at reorientation of the screens? Making them more in line with the flow? Basically, instead of, because right now they're kind of tucked in the corner, I'm basically reorientating and making a few more of them and making them more in line with the flow lines and that kind of stuff. So you'd maybe get more of a shedding of the sediment, hopefully, to the unit 18 instead of three of the fish units.
actually.
Shaping the screens themselves, I don't know, would do anything for that. I mean, they had done a study, I think, at ERDC years ago, where they had looked at, in front of each unit, they actually planned where each rack would go and how it should be aligned. And so I don't think there's going to be a lot of benefit to doing that. I think we need to, I think the effort is going to be best spent on trying to avoid getting the debris and sediment there in the first place.
Well, no, however you do it. I mean, that was my thought, was like reorienting and moving them out so that you're hopefully not drawing sediment in. If you think the berm's going to be more effective, awesome. Okay. It's just, I was thinking that reorientation might be a cheaper, easier option than getting a berm past Old Man River here is going to be a little interesting.
Actually, our focus is on the curtain. So yeah, we believe the curtain will train the flow.
You got, if you call it a BGS, we will beat you, though. Realize that.
No, this curtain's going to have to be a really short
step thing.
I mean, you're going to have to draw me a picture, but I mean, this can't be much of an effect on fishing passage.
It defeats the purpose. It wouldn't be. I think initial thoughts are some flexi floats with the curtain hanging down, maybe 10 feet, possibly even shorter. And it could go out a couple hundred feet off the dam, maybe even shorter. So that's what the modeling is going to tell us. A, is it effective? Now let's make it efficient. How small can we make it?
How's your model going to model the kind of debris that is out there, which is not just floating debris, but it's a lot of that stuff is kind of neutrally buoyant.
I wish Lori were here to talk more about this. She's our expert. But what they're doing in the model, they're using the seeds, you know, that, and dropping that through to see where it goes. But
they're
the assumption,
using the what?
They put seeds in it. I think they're using 5,000 or something like that, mm-hmm. and they're tracking that to see where it ends up. Lori said that the debris of concern is coming in on the surface. And what's happening is, as it gets over in front of the fish units, it gets into that eddy, mm-hmm.
exactly.
saturates, sinks, right. Now we got a problem. So she said the subsurface debris is not really the issue. She said we need to focus on that surface debris and get that crap out of there.
Okay. Well, the other thing is that you guys have had to dredge there numerous times, so you do get some sediment and silt and that kind of stuff there too.
And
so
that's going to happen. That's the other thing we realized. You know, there's not going to be a foolproof solution, maintenance free. And so the idea is to come up with something that's cost effective and it's easy to maintain. And so it's a balancing act. We're never going to get away from dredging, but if we can minimize it, hey, that's great. You know?
No, that's what we're hoping for.
Right.
Yeah, there's a way you can minimize that. What we don't want to do is continually shut those units down.
Don't want to flood them off every night.
That's something I don't want to have.
Well, because that's the problem with the lab, right? So.
The existing racks, if they work great, they don't prevent that from happening every day. So.
Well, and that's something else. If you look at the next option, is to modify the scheduled use of existing rate. And
so you're saying do a lot more raking?
Could be. And so we're also looking at the records to make sure that we're capturing what and when things have happened.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And you don't want to automate. Okay. You're going to hire a couple more riggers? I don't know how you're going to pull that. I mean, I support that idea. I'm just saying you're going to run into personnel issues at O&M side to actually be able to implement that.
And we're aware of that, but until we actually put numbers on paper, we can't say what those are, and so the decision makers can't make the call.
Well, Tammy's the decision maker, so just get past her, so...
Tammy and I will talk. Jerry Carroll might have something to say about that.
Yeah. I'd prefer not.
All right, and then the next thing on the handout is the evaluation criteria. I know you all were interested in how we were looking at this. These are in no particular order, by the way, but these are the criteria that we'll use to evaluate the options. And so there'll be more discussion on this in the report and how they were weighted and all that, but that's in there. The one thing I do want to point out, you'll see schedule in there. That wasn't given any weight. The team actually, you know, we've been going off 10 years. Why stop now? No.
10? I wrote the letter in 99. So you're up 14 right now. Okay. So you got time.
Initially started.
And I don't retire.
Well, the point of bringing that up is we're not going to let schedule drive a solid solution.
That's fine.
Let's get it right this time, is the point.
17 or 18 years.
Sure.
So the next steps, further evaluate historic and current O&M activities we just talked about how often it was raked, how often the units were shut down. We'll put that on paper, see what we're really facing. And then CFD modeling of the curtain / berm. We talked about that. That's the next step. And then finally, bring these options to this group and say, look, here's what we think is the most viable solution. What do you guys think?
So,
the modeling, we're hoping to have that completed in April. So we should be able to, by then, have a reasonably good idea of whether or not it's going to work. And then hopefully within a couple weeks to a month after that, we can finalize the BE report. Because I want the BE report to come out with a recommended solution. That's going to be the form that we take it forward to everybody. That's all I have.
Are you planning any multi-nation regional entities once you get closer to a honed-in concept?
I'm sorry?
Regional modeling trips?
Regional modeling trips?
I.e., two idiots that happen to sit in the room and go to a lot of modeling down in Vicksburg. You probably want to take someone down there before you get told concurrence from the region on what option you're going with to show us what you guys are planning on.
You don't have a physical model.
No, right. It's all the CFD?
It's
all
it's not CFD, is what I'm hearing. So, well, my only concern is that we don't end up with the wrong rock. Mm-hmm. If you bring one thing and say, here it is, and we all go, then we're just back at the tailspin. It's better to have, normally you're involved in more of the iteration process than just the final.
Well, it would be the draft result. I mean, the decision is not going to be final until we all bless it.
Absolutely, yeah, no, that's absolutely true. But what I don't want you guys to do is to come up with something and go through all the way to BE study and come up to us and say, okay, here it is, and we both. Yeah, our office going, no, we don't want to do that. And then the back
to square. Well, that's part of the reason for letting you know the alternatives we did look at. And again, we are still moving forward with the existing system and possibly rescheduling that, looking at putting more resources on it. Maybe that solves the problem. Maybe we'll rake one off. So we're pursuing more than one option.
Yeah, I'm skeptical of that because it hasn't solved the option. Hasn't worked to date. So,
I don't want to turn out that doesn't work.
Yeah. So, well, all I'm saying is, all I'm looking at is a few bullets here for quick discussion, so that's not much. Sure. Detail is certainly appropriate. And then, this one at some point.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, because,
meeting or, a chance to get here to it.
The other question is going to be, I know there's push from the Lamprey group to put smaller rack sizes in there. Mm-hmm. Is that being in corporate access? You say with Lamprey, it passes PDT considerations. The thing is, if you do that, then that basically totally change what you have to do for the racks and your rakes and all that are going to be totally modified.
What we're doing is anything that we do, we're checking against the Lamprey. The Lamprey criteria is not a primary focus for this project, but we're not going to do anything that has a negative impact on that.
Okay.
So just rest assured, and before we go forward with the final design, everyone will have a chance to check that.
I know. That's the only thing I'm worried about is that I could get some pushback from the Lamprey guys going to say, hey, you spent all this money, you got a new rack system that works great for 1-inch, but we need to change it to 3/4.
Yeah.
And then that just puts us at odds. And
I just want to make sure there's been some crossover already to shrink the rack size and see what it does all the way through the diffusers. And right now it looks okay.
I mean, it's bound to stop more debris, which will plug up faster, which will result in more cleaning, which at the point of the existing system.
See, that's why I want to get that debris out of there to begin.
And way back we were talking about actually, like Tom said, putting racks out front and actually angling those towards 18 and pulling that flow right into 18 rather than having it go into fish units. Doesn't sound like that's one of those on the
well, that's what the curve is supposed to do.
But yeah, well, that's a little different. One is moving the racks all the way out and angling them.
Okay.
That was one way of looking at it. Now, the curtain and the berm ideas, that's pretty porous. We'll see how well that actually stops the stuff.
Sure.
Because you have said relocation of racks. Right. It's not reorientation of racks.
Right.
It's
just
relocation.
Because they're going to move them out.
Yeah, that was a thought.
Yeah. Okay. So but we're just hearing different things, and we're not plugged in like you guys are, so we're just getting these little
snippets.
I understand.
Of stuff, but we've been involved in this for a very long time. So
too long.
Well, you have my commitment. Obviously, you guys aren't going to be left out. You will be pursuing more than one option.
Yeah, just so when number 8 comes, just pass along all your good information to him.
Yeah.
So.
Will do.
You sounded like he wants out.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. No, most of us PMs, you get invested in something.
Yeah, no.
I tend to want to follow through. Mm-hmm.
No, that's where we're thankful for the options you're doing, and we look forward to seeing the BE study.
Okay. All right, well, you'll post that with the minutes, the handout?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then,
you want to take it?
So no. At some point in the future, we will.
I don't have to warn fuzzy.
I guess we'll schedule maybe a sub.
We might have a special
one. We'll figure out something about this one.
I would encourage that before you get to a final solution.
Or a selection of a.
Yeah, just to make sure there aren't some issues that come up in that.
Sure.
So.
Once we get
on top of that, I don't want to slow the schedule waiting for these meetings.
Yeah, right.
We'll do what we need it.
Yeah. 1-inch. Yeah. That's fine. Let us know.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
It's biological. It's not biological.
Okay,
so it's an old net. It's not an adult. It's not a trying to keep adults out. I mean, once you get there.
Cindy is here to talk about avian predation actions.
Oh!
Again?
So you got all your islands built?
Where are you in? Just cover our grounds, Gary.
I could have probably covered it myself. You didn't even need to be here.
Go for it.
Don't tempt her.
No!
That's my line, please. Thank you. Steal my line.
All right, so I'll be honest. I'm not entirely sure what this audience is what type of information you're looking for.
Everything.
Yeah.
So I
start with turns.
I've got a couple handouts, but which I can launch into stuff, or you can ask questions.
Usually, what you do is we just want information presented, and we'll, surprise enough, we will ask questions.
Okay.
We're not very shy.
Yeah, it's usually very. Sandra does it. It's usually a very quick update of what's going on. Or I think in past Critter Wigs, I've actually done it because nobody else was here. So
he's usually the closest one.
Know how much I know about it, so it would be at least no more than that.
I'm not going to make a comment about that one.
All right, so can I look at the hand? So I don't want to speak to A, B, or C, because those are really items that Sandra could speak to.
Well,
she may be down here.
If she doesn't come down there, can we at least get an update? Because
I
know
talk
there's...
about those.
Well,
want.
What do you got?
I heard about them yesterday. What do you want to know?
Where are we?
Well,
so
here's
a failure.
Not a failure, no, and it's on track for next year. Summer Lake is two out of three ain't bad. And
so
San Francisco Bay is a whiff.
So my question is, so Malheur,
what else do you want to know?
Okay, so Malheur is set.
Yeah,
the one island is done. They're getting, they'll have another one ready.
Yeah,
for
there's
going to
be some additional predation work done. They've got some issues with some owls out there, but the
we transition those to the estuary?
The refuge manager is looking forward to taking care of that problem, so that's not a problem. With Summer Lake,
Dutchie sank.
They're going to take it out this year.
Okay.
East Lake and the other one. There's two other islands, and they're fine. They're going. Last year, we only had like 12 pairs of birds
so we
on
plenty
the entire lake, so
yeah.
Three islands, so there's plenty of space.
So then the question, are they planning to install another island to take the place of Summer to get back their habitat mitigation full?
That's
maybe, what I need to know. Okay.
Maybe not.
Or they can go to San Francisco and try to get everything to go there.
Well, that's what I'm pushing for. So
okay.
What I heard was that San Francisco District is continuing to work that issue for Portland District.
They're slower than molasses, though.
Yeah, I know. And there's no movement yet.
Okay.
The issues are still the same as they were before. The regional park is looking for upfront money on O&M.
They're
so
trying to milk it right now.
So there's an issue there. So you know, I've asked for, we're having, the AMT is having, the TURN AMT is having weekly calls now, and I'm asking for a weekly update on the San Francisco situation. But
have they looked at what it's going to take to get movement on that? We've been floundering this for over a year now.
You know, well, I think I probably, I don't know if I can go into more detail on it, but...
How about when you write a new biop?
Yeah.
Or when you do your comprehensive evaluation update of this year's biop requirements for the judge?
Let's just say what I heard was the Corps reassessing their avian predation issues across the board.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah. Oh, that makes me feel warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, me too. So, and then...
estuary monitoring. That's somebody else. Who could that be?
Okay, so we are, the researchers are out on East Sand Island. They're prepping for the breeding season, the field season. So that's progressing. We'll be having, beginning next week, weekly calls from the researchers giving updates.
Like last year's?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's, attendees include the states, the federal agencies and the tribes.
If you can send out announcements, that is very helpful.
Wednesday's at 9,
and I think Elisa is sending out the meeting notification today.
Is there any way we can maybe change the date slightly to either, say, 8:30 or 10? Because some of us that well, what am I saying? I'm the only one who gets on these that goes to TMT, so just to make things easier, I don't know if you could do like a half an hour earlier or say at 10 o'clock, because usually by 10 o'clock I've had my fill of TMT and I'm happy to get off.
You're invigorated after that meeting. Come on, you're energized.
There's a reason that my brown liqueur in my cabin seems to be drained.
There's a turn management AMT, that's a management team meeting. After this,
yeah,
it's like at
10,
so that
kind of
pushes
it
forward to
8:30.
I could see if that works. If not, I will just I'll flip a coin.
I think
and see
you're
going to
have to be flexible.
When do you work before 10 o'clock anyway?
What time was I here? 9:15. There's Shorty.
Oh,
yeah, that's why.
Don't
push
it.
There could be more, so don't push.
You know, I was going to have you over for dinner, but I might rescind said invitation.
So could you see, I mean, could, because I think that Tom Skiles and Blaine are also on that meeting invite, so maybe between the three of you could cover it. I'll talk to Elisa.
I'm making a request. If you could find out, that'd be great. I mean, like, if the first couple are at 9, if we
what's she saying
is
just not important.
Pretty much, I'm used to that. I get that somehow. I hear that a lot from people. That's fine.
All right, I will ask. I'll ask. So the intention is to have weekly updates to just monitor, see how things are progressing.
Tell us when you're going to shoot goals.
On the research for cormorants at East Sand Island, terns at East Sand Island, and then terns at the constructed sites. And within the larger Columbia estuary. So there's dissuasion activities occurring on some of the dredge material disposal sites.
And we used to give updates on the satellite tags. And the tech,
yeah, so tech pretty much anything research related, the researchers will provide an update. So next week, we're kind of at the beginning of this of the breeding season, but they will be going through a pretty itemized review of the planned research. So if you're interested in that, then...
Could we get that sent out before?
Yeah, and so I have some of that today that I can give to you. I think I sent it to the SRWG last week. What Dan and Ken are going to do is essentially put it in kind of a work plan format. So it won't be... It'll be more detailed than an itemization of the objectives and the tasks, which I'll give you today. But... it will be less detailed than the full research proposal,
Okay. Which
you also have and can look at. But so it'll be more probably between 5 to 7 pages. Yeah. So that's the status of that. I'm also going to hand out a table, which includes a correction from last week, but it's essentially shows the compilation of BPA funded work and core funded work.
And Navy funded work.
This is as a correction from the one.
Yeah. So there was we caught. I think Gary, that was you who caught that last week. So that's been made. That correction's been made. And then, if you want, we can go through and talk about some of the details of the research for this year.
Just
interested.
First and foremost, has the Corps got all their ducks in a row on paperwork needed to implement?
Well, ducks now, too?
Dude, I'm going for it all. If it's got feathers, I'm just shooting the damn fence.
This is a merganser.
I'm going merganser. Has that issue, because we understood earlier there's been some paperwork snafus and some stuff because they're talking about gut samples and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Have those issues been worked out?
Yeah, so we've, in this year, some new things that have come up that, or that we've learned, you know, that we hadn't been doing in prior years was, essentially filing real estate actions on the work that essentially covers liability. Because the work is not contracted through a formal contract, but it's been executed through a cooperative agreement, there are different legal you have a different legal coverage for risk. So, long story short, yes, we are working through that. Stomach contents will be collected on the cormorants. So that's, I think, about 2 weeks ago we announced that we weren't going to do that because of the use of firearms, but then discovered that that work It's far enough offshore, exactly. Yeah, so that's not an issue. So long story short, yes, we're working through the real estate issues, and we're also working through the environmental clearances.
But the thought is that everything will be ready and all of the tasks will be able to be implemented.
That is our hope.
It's can-do core.
That's right.
Sounds like it.
We are an action agency.
Well, I'm not touching that.
Yeah, we'll let that. Well, Tom and I have been around long enough. That just doesn't...
So the one thing I did notice in here is the turns are basically going to be down to an 8.25, I believe, this next year. Gary, remind me if I'm right or wrong.
They're not changing it.
It is an 8.25.
Because of the loss of Dutchie and because Orms.
So we can't take it down to the full 8 or so?
We can't take it down until we get a better site, and that site's
crazy.
Yeah.
Off-site.
All righty.
And you're targeting, if I read this right, 8,000? Cormorants?
Yeah, we're gonna dissuade, so reduce habitat down to about 4.5 acres and dissuade on the rest of the island. And if the colony by, I think it's May 21, is not establishing, and essentially if breeding pairs are
8,000.
Below 8,000, then we will relax the dissuasion activities.
Where's that?
And that decision was based on that we can't, this is research, and we do want to see, we're hopeful that we can we can push them enough that they will
disperse.
But
the question is, what was last year's colony size for cormorants?
It was just under 13,000.
Yes.
13,000, so.
Same as always.
So going below that was considered to be a significant impact, and that would trigger a full different action.
What concerns me the most about, and I haven't read this, and I haven't involved this much, but what I don't want to find us doing is moving, 5,000 pairs of birds to alternative sites in the estuary, then they all say, hey, this is good, we'll live here too, and then you guys will be chasing your tails trying to stop expansion.
Yeah.
Because they have a chance to learn. I mean, if they're really going after them, we would want them, that those additional, what would it be, 4,000, maybe 5,000 pairs out of the estuary altogether.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think does this say, and I haven't had a chance to read it all, that there will be dissuasion on every site potential?
There will not.
No.
Basically just rice. Basically it would be rice and East Sand is what it would be dissuaded.
And Bill or Sand?
Well, there will be dissuasion for terns on the other sites,
right.
but not
for cormorants. See, that's a concern of mine right there.
Can that be modified?
That's probably too late to say it, but if we don't want to teach them that other sites are better places to live. And then when it comes to actual push, they just go there. And we're it's harder. If they're in total flux, it's easier to keep them moving. If they've already started habituating to new areas, then you know that's where they're going to go.
Yeah, but honestly, though, I think I'd rather learn that now than have to wait for the EIS to come out. Because that's the problem. If we don't do anything, then we're going to have to wait till the EIS. The EIS is at least
that's
a year
risk.
Or two out.
It's just a risk you take of habituating birds to a new area. I mean, that's...
But at least that'd be potentially good information to find out that, hey, guess what? Dissuasion doesn't work. Yeah. We're going to have to do something more permanent. I know we are, but we have to do this stepwise because there's certain people that you are card-carrying members of aren't going to let us to go and take Blaine with a... You've got the Audubon card-carrying membership there. I know you do. They're not going to let Blaine go release... They're not going to release Blaine wild with a box of shotgun shells.
Well, we were actually thinking of that. What do you mean?
I like that. That should be alternative 2B, but...
Well, yeah, I just think that, the number of birds in the estuary has to be reduced.
Yeah.
And that will be where we end up, and they can't be just moved. They've got to go.
Elsewhere.
Nobody else wants them, so this is going to be an interesting situation.
Yeah.
With Fish and Wildlife Service.
Oh, I know. But since they're not here, we can make all kinds of decisions.
Yeah. Well, they've actually been very supportive of this, so we'll see how
hopefully
it goes.
Precisional.
It is.
You gotta be precisional, Gary.
What do you do? That's my
River
Tree Act. 60% population gone.
Is that
how you do that
area,
with
not the whole population, just from
but from this area. Migratory Bird Treaty Act. That's what you have to do is get rid of all those birds. You get some type of permit from the service.
They're working on it.
They are working on it.
Absolutely. Wow. Yeah, this is a big, that's big huge. It's being kind of pushed at high levels, so we'll see where we end up with in their analysis that they're doing.
Ooh, I'll be darned.
That does remind me. I get headaches trying to keep track of things, but Don Line's model is in lambdas.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Are we going to change that back to be in a more common currency? Oh, boy.
You've been talking to him.
No, but Trevor brought this. Actually, it was your Bubba Trevor that brought this one up to me.
Oh, yeah?
You can blame
yeah.
Trevor on this one. He's going, Don Lyons' model said this and this. And then I say, wait a minute. But, yeah.
No, that
Lyons is in lambda. Other things in juveniles.
Are you talking cormorants or terns, inland or estuary? There's so many pieces of this thing. But if you're talking cormorants,
it's going to yeah, be.
We had a meeting earlier this week, was there? Or mm-hmm. Was it weeks ago? It seems like weeks ago.
They all blend together.
And we had, yeah, it was Monday. And we had a long discussion about this and how we're going to approach the crediting and the accounting of that sort of stuff. And yeah, lambda is not what I want to see. It's not what we want to see. The credit, the benefits analysis actually took a reduction in predation rate of juveniles and carried that onto a lambda. You know, that's okay to do.
That's fine
for comparative purposes. But we're going to have to go back because there's a lot of things that affect lambda that we would have in a model that Don exactly. didn't. Yeah. So we'd back it up to the juvenile survival part of it or mortality part of it,
right.
whatever. Mm-hmm. And then we'd go from there in a broader, you know, probably a compass type.
Well, but then it allows you to do comparisons to, like, say, other things like estuary habitat work.
It does. It does. It puts it all
that's
the same.
That's what Trevor was having kittens about.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that a few times, too. I mean, it really comes down to juvenile benefits.
It does. Well, that's what the that's what the vibe is based on.
Right. Right. So exactly. Yeah, that's
so
what
are
the
we,
credits
that's are. The question is, maybe in this year of research, are they going to do that or something like that? Because I can't take his model and take his number and back it back out because I've...
So they are going to be estimating, every year they estimate consumption in millions, okay, and that's at the resolution, steelhead, Chinook yearling, Chinook subyearling. What the benefit analysis did was it took it to lambda, but it relied upon the PIP tag data, so that's why how they could resolve to stock ID. Mm-hmm. So this year we are not asking them to do that analysis. What we're asking them to do is continue to do the bioenergetics analysis. And that supports the analysis for the EIS. And as we move into implementing actions, we will likely continue to do some. We will continue to use that model. We're still discussing. Well, it'll be a question with SRWG, I guess, in the larger region. Like, what data sets do we want to continue to collect, or are there certain data sets that we can say, okay, we probably have a good enough. Let's use some averages or something.
I mean, and the main driver is going to be stomach content. That's the main driver.
It is, yeah. And I've kind of developed a model that, that is a benefits analysis in itself. And, you know, that's it's for the gap, the base current gap, but also that can be carried forward.
Okay.
And it's based on all the years of data we have, so I don't know how much we want to get into it, but there can be.
I'm sure you brought your spreadsheets.
No, I didn't. I didn't think we'd get into that because that's a lot of work.
What else do you want to
do? I'm not sure how much of that we can actually talk about because it's consultation stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
But,
I'm saying because that's the pushback I'm getting from Blaine, obviously, about how the hell are we shooting more birds?
Yeah, so. Right. No, and Blaine's going to be included, I think, in somewhat.
Yes.
We hope so.
Future here.
Yeah, I think I believe he's been invited to the
group.
Participate.
Yeah. I think that's appropriate because he has comments on this stuff and so do I because we haven't been involved in the development of this year's research and so that's why last week's meetings kind of went awry a bit, so we'll get up to speed. Just make sure you include us from now on.
Oh,
will do.
And
Corvus.
And I got to know, am I going to get frantic calls from Blaine about you guys shooting goals again?
Yes, you will.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Good to know.
Well, we're going to use a more gentle and kinder approach this year.
What?
Pelicans.
Awesome.
And effigies. Scary effigies.
Awesome.
That's right. And green lasers.
Laser.
Type 2 of
completing the Bonneville Dam, so they're putting out about
basically a microwave. Well, is there anything else that you got?
That's what I brought. I do have a map of the persuasion area if folks are interested.
It hasn't changed, has it?
Well, it has changed since last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
From the for cormorants.
For cormorants, it
has. Yeah. It's going to be quite a different approach. The pincer approach.
So last year, they had about 11 and a half acres. So this is the east. Yeah. Easterly dissuasion fence, the westerly dissuasion fence, the turn area is over towards the east of the easterly dissuasion fence. So last year, cormorants had access to about 11 and a half acres.
Yeah.
They effectively only used about 4.5 acres up, and they crowded up against the western fence because of bald eagle. So anyway, so this year we are dissuading all of the 11.5, but we are opening up the area between the two dissuasion, and that's the 4.5 acres.
Okay.
And then eventually you can actually squeeze it down within that, too.
Yeah.
So,
we'll see.
So just FYI, if you get on Google Earth and look at East Sand Island, you can get a really good look at this. You can actually see individual cormorants.
Yeah.
So on nest, and you can see nest scrapes for the turn collar. It's that detail of the photography. You can easily see somebody standing out there. Maybe you can see a tern. We can actually see the terns on the nest, or maybe they're decoys, I don't know, but the shadows that were cast by them, it's that detailed. Space.
Well, it's the same thing at that picture of Everest. See that one from Google Earth Everest where you can actually blow up and actually see all the tents and all the camps and that stuff?
It's like this is 50
megapixels or whatever.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's so
it
sharp.
It is amazing. Yeah, if you're out, I looked at my house. If I'd been in the backyard, I would have been able to.
I don't want to know what you're doing in your backyard.
It's a little bit too much.
Don't want to know.
Yeah. Can you send your electronic copies of your handouts to Tammy?
Yes.
We'll post them on the website.
Okay. Right in my hot tub.
Okay.
Tell me you've got a cover on that hot tub.
No, I don't.
Damn it!
I just took it off.
Too
much information.
TMI. Don't worry, it doesn't work. Nobody's been in that thing for years.
Well, that concludes our schedule. Does anybody have anything else they want to talk about?
Any others?
Yeah. Well, my district's just drying up, blowing away.
Nothing to do.
two full days at Walla Walla.
Okay, that's because they do 40-minute PowerPoint presentations. They can be boiled down to 10 minutes. So
they do a pretty good job of showing them.
Yeah, they show you everything and basically put you to sleep.
That's true.
So there needs to be the happy medium. The happy medium.
Portland, a little brief.
Okay, how about folks on the phone? Any questions?
Folks on the phone, any questions?
Hey, Gary, you can be on your desk this afternoon?
Yeah.
I have some Fuji questions.
Okay.
Well, Fuji questions.
Fuji Oji.
Fuji. Okay.
Good. The next Spitterwig meeting is 6th of June, 2013.
What a plan.
AQ meeting adjourned.
Dun, dun, dun.
6th of June.
The conference. Can you give the 1 or 2 minute version, Gary, of the whole biop and the... No, seriously, though, I'm curious, because, like... No, keeping it super... I mean, like, what's being changed? We've got a whole bunch of junk in the junk drawer. I'm just curious as to, you know, what's being changed, who's the point of contact...
You know, I don't even know. I know that...
You're asking the wrong person. It's not NOAA who's making the decision. It's BPA. So call BPA. They'll tell you what NOAA's going to do.
But I'm just curious, because as I was...
providing us with the BA. Actually, what some chunk just came in. I'm not sure what Richie called it, but it's coming from the core.
Is it a TRD?
And I heard a couple of things, which I'm probably not at liberty to say.
But just say
that I'm a core. I'm a core member. I'm supposed to be.
My only comment is, I'm not even interested in the details. But just as far as like, so it's the core that's providing updates to the. Can you just tell me the process?
We're updating the BA. The process of the BIOP is you guys provide us with the BA and analysis, and the analysis is apparently what we've got.
So we provided the core provided you with.
Then we provide an opinion on that action.
So that's the comprehensive evaluation.
Yes.
And the implementation plan.
Yep. So wait a minute. Those are updated annual documents, but no?
The annual reports.
are updated.
Our annual, but the CEIP was the interim.
Right. 13 was
halfway.
Yeah, but to me, my understanding of those documents is those were...
You did existing buy-up, right.
Yeah, and they weren't, like, for example, my understanding is I was hoping that this 2014 buy-up, we would have all of this junk that we deal with every year, a lot of these reoccurring issues, that's just using a dumb one, for example, like LOMO.
Right,
My vision, world according to Doug, was that some of these things would get resolved in the 2014 buy-up. So we would have this thing called this BA or something that the action agency would be working on. And we would say, here's what... Okay, so what are we doing then?
Food?
You're saying we're doing a rollover.
Did I say that?
No.
I think my lips are
So as far as the BA, so then the new proposed action, where's the new proposed action that we are consulting on for 2014? Where's that?
We're waiting for you to give it to us.
So the action agencies are developing a proposed action.
Right.
And it's a skinny one? Like a, it's a...
Basically on a paper, piece of paper.
17 pages that say, refer to the rest of the old BA. Here's the new stuff that we want you to focus on.
They're the language, I mean, the judge has asked for, the old judge, Redden asked for, I should admit, it's quite that way, but the previous judge had asked for a specific redo of the buy-off, so the current judge, Simon, is expecting that, so we are revising as required by the court, but to what degree you redo things,
right.
Don't know.
But you're what
it's gonna read my lips.
So your version of that though would be a 20-page addendum. Let's just say appendix new buy-off.
Did you see the AMIP that they added to it?
Yeah, what was that? 20, 30, 40, 50 pages?
Yeah.
So you're suggesting it would be a
everything I've
staple
heard from
to the back.
People and everything I've heard from in our point of contact meetings with the EPA and all that stuff, it says it's gonna be comprehensive evaluation on steroids. It's going to be a small appendix added to it.
So the comprehensive evaluation that I just updated, but I didn't put it into pieces, I thought that was just a typical, like, updated information on where we are, but what you're suggesting is...
They're going to take that.
They'll take...
Yes.
But that's so not a BA. That's
no
so not
checks.
A BA. That's so... A BA, you need to say, here's our proposed action, you list out your projects, here's the effects.
You're not going to get this argument from any of us here. It's a bullshit,
nobody wants to
cockable story.
Well, you're not, that's an APA train wreck waiting to happen, because you have no, to do a consultation, you have...
Full analysis.
Nobody wants to do a reanalysis of a jeopardy analysis.
Yep.
And so if you don't do that, you don't break that compass, you don't go through the whole process, then you can't make big changes on the other end of this thing. So that's why rollover seems like, I think it's a test of the judge. But
I think it's a small game of chicken the Asian players. Like, hey, we're just going to float out. We're going to kind of dust off the buy-up, update with some new data.
And then
kick all the
messy stuff to real-time, to in-season management. We won't really tackle...
That's what we've been doing for the past five years.
But my vision, glass is half full, is that, like, all... I mean, it was funny, as you were talking, I was listing out this laundry list of junk drawer crap that we deal with in-season that, like, in the perfect world, that would get hammered out in a new buy-up.
Right.
Hammer that out, and then...
No,
so
Ice
you're
Harbor's
saying
still going to be 30.
Right, and that was one of my topic items was Ice Harbor. So are you kidding me? So that'll still be, we'll still be testing. So you're saying we're still going to be testing at Ice Harbor in 2014.
I can't wait to see what they figure out on John Day.
Yeah, well that's the other thing.
It's going to be 30, 40, 30, 40, 40 every block.
Honestly, I will be surprised.
Bonneville too for summer.
Oh God, really?
Well, okay, an awesome cam. So the whole cam. So we won't resolve the cam special.
Oh, none of that's going to get resolved.
No, are you kidding me?
I'm not. This is what I'm hearing from the folks that are supposed to be doing all this stuff. Rollover means rollover. Everything's going to go back to the way it was, the way it's been. I wouldn't put out completely out of the realm possibility that they